There's a real question about whether there's a massive shift happening now in terms of world alliances long term.
Well, it's definitely, I think, a new world order.
Battle lines for a new world order based on power.
The new world order.
Because you really need to bring China into the creation of a new world order.
I think the president has sought to. There's a new world order in trade. There's a new world order in globalization and the way that we invest in our economy versus, you know, foreign supply chains. There's a new world order, and that the president is willing to shake up some old alliance structures. I mean, NATO, I think, is much different because of the president's leadership than it was 10 years ago. It was sort of coasting. It was effectively a protectorate of the United States of America. Obviously, you saw what happened in Venezuela. So, yeah, the president is putting a stamp on world history.
This clip went super viral, and I had people tagging me to it saying, what do you say to this? You know, you like J.D. Vance. Here he is saying he's for the New World Order. You have to go off what the policies are to decide if they're New World Order. And the Rockefellers and the globalists for 80 years have been calling this corporate British Empire, U.S. Empire, neoliberal system the New World Order. That means the carbon taxes, that means the UN being in charge, the World Economic Forum calling the shots, BlackRock being in total control, the whole Bill Gates, Rothschild, Rockefeller, international neoliberal order that they had established, that they admit is totally in trouble. Everybody's turning against him, regardless of Trump.
I see the need for a great reset. So people assume we are just going back to the good old world which we had, and everything will be normal again. This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen.
We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other publications whose directors have attended our meetings and restricted their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the bright lights of publicity. But the world is now more sophisticated and prepared to march toward a world government.
Let's start with a term that we're hearing quite a bit about in the last couple of years, the New World Order. We like to say in this country that we have the ability as Americans to elect. But the problem is we do not have the ability to select. We can only elect. Which means that we can only vote for those candidates which are put before us by our masters, our hidden masters behind the scenes.
A new world order can emerge, a new era.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
That system is in free fall collapse. So when you hear the old international order is dead from them, their new world order is dead, you see Putin saying, we now have to work with other nations to build a new world order. You're talking about the new international order.
Before our eyes, a completely novel world order is taking shape, and it's unlike everything that we know from the past. For example, Westphalian system or Yalta system. New powers are emerging. The nations understand more clearly their interests, their self-worth, uniqueness, and identity.
But the public, when the globalists would talk about their plan, they were saying, we control the world, we're establishing a planetary government, our new world order. So you call a new order, whoever it's run by, you can say America fighting off the British, creating the American system was a new world order. The British wrote, if this continues, our empire will fall. And it did. It took 100 and some years. That's the point, is a new boss, a new system. And there's a lot of the old same globalist players in there trying to salvage this and repackage the old New World Order as the new New World Order. And there's a big battle inside the Trump administration on how we form this new system, because a new system is being formed. And I don't just expose the globalist system and other systems, the communist systems. I promote good ones and try to get the public to promote good systems. Team America, Team Humanity. A system pro-God, pro-family, pro-natalist, pro-expansion. That's what I always explain. We can't just oppose the globalist order. We have to promote other systems and popularize those so that we can fill the vacuum with our new world order that isn't a centralized global government, but is nation states working together towards common aims and promoting freedom and justice and soft power.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Oh, you are Alaskan Native Owned. What does that mean?
It means that we have an incentive because of the Alaskan Native ownership. And it can be protested.
So how do you do that? Because you don't look Native.
I'm not Native, no. Chinookan tribe.
Chinookan tribe. But they don't do the work.
They don't do the work. They hire people that understand the market.
Mike Montgomery acknowledges that the Native American tribe Chinega, which owns the company, doesn't do any of the actual work.
There's a requirement for, if we're the prime and it's 8A set aside, we have to do 51% of the work.
When the undercover journalist remarks, that is just, quote, on paper, Mike Montgomery chuckles and says, well, yeah.
So 51% has to be performed by us.
On paper.
Yeah. Well,
compliant on paper.
Yeah.
They're able to obtain contracts, sometimes worth up to $100 million.
A direct award, we can receive up to $100 million. And so they can't, there's no protests, there's no J&A. So, I mean, it's a way for a contracting officer to streamline his acquisitions without competition.
That's a
cheating,
beautiful
really.
Place to be in.
It's cheating, but
he's calling it cheating.
But Ricky, that's a good way of putting it, though. Cheating.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You may remember when we exposed how firms were taking advantage of the Small Business Administration's 8A programs, those programs designed to help the socially and economically disadvantaged small businesses compete in the federal marketplace to win no-bid federal contracts, only to pass most of the actual work to outside subs while pocketing enormous chunks of the compensation for themselves. Now, at the time, we caught executives on tape describing a fraudulent pass-through scheme while sidelining the very communities the program was supposed to serve. Here's a quick recap of our interaction with Mullane Cromwell, Director of Contractors for ATI.
So ATI would do 20%, and those subcontractors do like 80% of the work.
80% of the work.
I don't know if you share that they do all the work.
No. Yeah. So we do about 20% of the work.
20%.
Right? And I tell you, pass-throughs are a great thing as well. So a lot of our subcontractors bid on contracts that were perfect in their industry, but because they weren't Native American, they wouldn't win it. So we bid on it for them. They became our sub, and it's an automatic win because of your Native American status.
Isn't that exciting?
Right?
It's so exciting.
A lot of people don't know that.
I don't think anybody knows that.
Right? And
you want to keep it that way.
That's right.
Yes. That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Now you may be thinking, well, this is a good thing. We're helping the minorities. But as you'll see in just a bit, that's not actually the case. For every $100 that goes to this program, only $7 of that $100 actually goes to the Native American. And this is a huge problem that people don't know about. We imagine the fraud. We have no idea the scale. Just to give you some perspective, the United States deficit is $2 trillion. This program is $100 billion. Kelly Loeffler, the head of the SBA, Small Business Administration, launched an investigation into ATI that very same day. Like every other government program rooted in DEI, the 8A program is rife with grift and fraud. And just 2 days later, Kelly Loeffler announced that ATI had been suspended. ATI and its referenced executives will not be permitted to bid for federal contracts. The work of our team did not only get ATI suspended, but after the full release, the SBA announced that it called the first full audit of the 8A program in nearly 50 years. We've terminated 20% of all firms participating in this, and we continue to review every contractor and contract to cut out fraud, Waste, and DEI. Kelly Loeffler also posted about the 4,300 other 8A firms. To root out those bad actors, we've asked all 4,300 firms to submit 3 years' worth of financial documents, and the SBA has moved to terminate over 620 firms in the 8A federal contracting program that refused to turn over those documents. This was actually just last week, just a few days ago. In the wake of this report, we were flooded with more tips than I've ever seen in a single day. And two tribal businesses that seem to be mentioned an awful lot in all of these tips is Chenega and Cherokee.
I give you two companies that you need to also investigate. One is called Cherokee Federal, and the other one is called Chenega.
We understand that Chenega, that's in Alaska, receives $1.4 billion dollars through this 8A program, and it only has 100 members. That's $14 million per member. We also understand that there may or may not be a United States senator, we can throw her picture on the screen, who's opposed to all this reform, and gee, I wonder why. So we went undercover at the Federal Small Business Conference. There were booths for both Cherokee and Chenega. First up, Mike Montgomery, the president of Chenega Architecture and Design, an interior design firm. Mike describes taking advantage of the same 8A set-asides that the ATI employees described. Quote, they hire business executives that understand the federal marketplace. They don't do the work.
So what do you guys do? Michael Montgomery.
Yeah, we do architecture, engineering, design, and design build, construction management.
Do you have many offices?
We have four companies. We do, yeah.
Four companies.
Yeah, but yeah, we're in, my back office is in Norton, Virginia. Actually, our corporate headquarters is in Anchorage, Alaska.
Oh, wow.
We're Alaska Native owned.
Oh, you are Alaska Native owned. What does that mean?
It means that we have an incentive because of the Alaskan Native ownership with 8A and our ability to direct source contracts at a higher level than a traditional 8A.
So that's the advantage.
That's the advantage, yeah. Right now, DOD, we can do $150 million direct source.
Yes. Wow. Automatically, yeah. There's no bidding.
And it can't be protested.
So how do you do that? Because you don't look Native.
I'm not Native, no. No, they hire business executives that understand the federal market space, but the board members are all Alaskans.
Alaskans.
Chenega Tribe.
Chenega Tribe. But they don't do the work, you guys.
They don't do the work, no. They hire people that understand the market. So.
Mike Montgomery acknowledges that the Native American tribe Chenega, which owns the company, doesn't do any of the actual work. So once again, it begs the question, what exactly is the purpose of these 8A programs? Is the intention just to force ineligible companies to split their profits with a Native tribe, which provides zero labor?
Do you subcontract once
you... I do.
But Mike, when it, like, if we become underneath him, like
a subcontractor,
we will do all the work, right? You just manage it to make sure the work is being done.
There's a requirement for, like, we have, if we're the prime and it's 8A set aside, we have to do 51% of the work. So 51% has to be performed by us.
On paper.
Yeah. Well, you got to stay compliant because you get in trouble.
Compliant of paper.
Yeah.
Now, Chenega is one of the largest culprits in this whole scheme, and the senator from Alaska is opposed to this reform, but some want to reform the program, including putting a cap of $100 million, and 5% must go into community, not into the pockets of wealthy white executives in Washington. One of the other reforms that are being proposed in Washington right now is to redefine what social disadvantage means, maybe also to include white people as being socially disadvantaged. That includes, for example, veteran groups. Veteran groups are at a severe disadvantage when it comes to these sole source contracts. 62% of the 8A money is actually only going to tribal firms. 7% in fiscal year 2024 going to veteran-owned firms. We also spoke to Ricky Longhurst, a senior account executive for Cherokee Federal in Oklahoma. He's not Native American, another Caucasian senior account executive for Cherokee Federal. And in this first clip, Ricky claims that Cherokee Federal, the business, takes 63% of the profits while 37% goes to the tribe.
Are you a native?
I am not.
I don't have to be a native.
No, yet. No. So we just went there 3 weeks ago for our leadership summit, right? And so we got to go out to the reservation, for the reservation. We've done in the past, but it just kind of reminds you what you're doing. Think about it, we get 37 back to the tribe for infrastructure, 63% goes back to the business. I know this sounds like a sales pitch, it's not. It's just, it gives us a purpose for what we do in industry.
Notice there that Ricky Longhurst also acknowledges that he is not himself a tribal member. They're never tribal members. In this next clip, Ricky describes that they're able to obtain contracts sometimes worth up to $100 million, and because they're native-owned, there is, quote, no protest, no justification and approval, so it streamlines acquisitions without competition.
We bring on subcontractors based on a need.
Okay.
You know, based on if we have a gap, we need to do. So that's all there is to it. Now, as far as the 8A contract goes, I know you guys have probably heard this before, a direct award, we can receive up to $100 million. And so they can't, there's no protest, so there's no J&A. So, I mean, it's a way for a contracting officer to streamline his acquisition without competition.
That's a
cheating,
beautiful
really.
Place to be in.
It's cheating, but
Ricky, that's a good way of putting it, though. Cheating.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's calling it cheating. No justification, no approval, no competition. We've got one more clip from Ricky here where he acknowledges that in order to make their 51% requirement on paper, they essentially just put a program manager on site with the sub. The undercover journalist asks, so that's why you have PMs, project managers on site to monitor, but the sub is doing all the actual work. To which Ricky replies, absolutely.
But Ricky, you do a lot of the managing, right, of these big contracts? You manage it?
I don't do that.
Federal.
Every contract has a program manager, a project manager. I'm the one out winning the work.
The fact that you have all these subcontractors, that's why you have PMs to go and monitor that. But your subcontractors are performing the actual the contract.
Yeah.
So you have somebody from Cherokee on site, and you have the people that do the invoices, but the work is being performed by the subcontractors.
Yeah.
Again, our entire investigation into the 8A program and these companies that use it as a loophole has really exposed the entire program as just an absurd system that doesn't solve any kind of cultural disenfranchisement at all. All it has done is create a Kafkaesque system in which any company seeking to do business has to find a minority owner to even be considered by the government, at which point they just take the majority of the profits, give a fraction to its Native American tribe, and a fraction of it to the sub, while hoarding the majority of the wealth to the...
Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Happy, what's today? Wednesday. Today's Wednesday. It's been one of those chaotic mornings, as many of you guys know. I just received a statement from the White House. I'll bring it to you in a moment. It's in regards to mass deportations. There's a lot of reports out there saying that Republicans are backing down from that. So I reached out to the White House and said, hey, do you guys want to dispute these claims? Well, we've got comments, and I'll be delivering that to you in just a few moments. I've also got the president's schedule. I'll highlight what he's doing today. It's quite the busy schedule. Most importantly, though, we'll give you an update regarding Iran. There's actually a lot of Republicans now coming out and saying, all right, President Trump, you've accomplished what you wanted to accomplish. Now let's get out. I'll bring you latest in regards to that. We're also going to be diving into the topic of Jeffrey Epstein because there's new developments there that are very deeply, deeply concerning. And that New Mexico ranch apparently is being searched. It was searched yesterday in regards to the potential of two dead children, those specifically being girls, who might possibly be buried on that site. We'll bring you the latest in regards to just that. Plus, it looks like the AG, Pam Bondi, had to actually flee her home in Washington, D.C. We'll detail the very latest on that. And Ed Martin, also over at the DOJ, under attack. This time, though, it's D.C. Bar. They're looking to go after him because why? Well, he's President Trump's attorney. And there are a bunch of legal, left-leaning hacks, as I usually do. So we'll get into that in a little bit as well. We'll also be joined by Matt Boyle in the show today. He is the D.C. reporter for Breitbart. He actually did an incredible interview with the president's new pick to run DHS, Mark Wayne Mullins. He's a senator, obviously, a U.S. senator currently, but he's going to be potentially confirmed by the Senate next week. He's having his actual first hearing on that. But there's a lot of details that I'm really excited to have Matt on to talk about today, because he actually did a sit-down interview a couple of weeks ago with Mullins. And it was interesting to sit back and watch Mullen to watch this morning. I was going through it all, and they were talking about the CCP threat. And so I think that's probably going to be his focus as he makes his way into this position potentially. So we'll ask Matt about that. We'll also ask Matt, because he's been hyper-focused on the race in Texas regarding John Cornyn and Ken Paxton. John Cornyn actually just released an op-ed in the New York Post, and it's quite laughable given the fact that it's really him begging and pleading, Mr. Ken Paxton, please drop out of the race. That's what he's hoping for, at least. So we got that going for us. All right, folks, we're going to dive into the president's schedule briefly at, right about now, the president is doing something called executive time. Now, that's kind of, they've recently changed that over, just so you all at home know. If it was an executive order being signed, it would say that, but now it's executive time is what's on his schedule. So that's going on right now over at the White House. Then shortly after that, he is actually departing from D.C. and heading over to Kentucky, because he gets expected to participate in a couple of different events over there, local news media, podcast interviews as well. So we'll follow that in case anything breaks from there. But again, the president, very busy as he makes his way over to Kentucky. And speaking of just that, I wanted to get to a very important update regarding President Trump. As many of you guys know, the war between, obviously, and I think that the White House is trying not to say that it's a war, but obviously you just completely annihilated about 90% of the Iranian regime. So for the rest of us sane people, we would probably say, yes, we are at war with Iran at this point. But when you look at all the details, it's quite concerning. And there's certain people who are stepping in right now, and they're trying to say, all right, Mr. President, you've accomplished enough. I was watching Josh Hawley yesterday also say just that, the senator, Josh Hawley. It's time now to kind of admit that you won and figure out, get out of Iran option. And it's really important to highlight that, because the Pentagon yesterday reported, and I also reported on my X page as well, they put out information regarding that the amount of injuries that have been, sadly, a part of this Operation Epic Fury. 140 American service members have been injured. It looks like 108 of them are recovering and going to return to active duty. But there's about 8 of them that are actually severe right now. And that's really important for folks to understand before we play clip one, because Senator Rand Paul, obviously someone who's anti-war, wants no part in any of this. Senator Rand Paul actually came out in regards to all of this, and he's sounding off. He wants the president to end all of this. But he's walking us through as to why we're even here in the first place. Take a listen.
As far as the reasons for the war, there have been many different reasons floated, but none of them, I think, have been very convincing. One reason is that we want to free the Iranian people from oppression. I have a great deal of sympathy. I want people to be free around the world. But if our foreign policy is to free oppressed people, I'm not sure where war would end. I mean, there are many people that are said to be oppressed in China, Tibet, the Uyghurs, North Korea, Russia. Where would war end if our goal is to free oppressed people? So I think that goal is too grandiose and would perpetually tie us up in war. Another statement has been made, well, they're a week away from a nuclear weapon. You can take clips from the 90s all the way through the present of people arguing that they're a week away from nuclear weapons. Then there were arguments made, well, their ballistic missiles are almost able to reach the U.S. But then our intelligence countered that and said, really, they would be 6 months to a year if they made that attempt. We were also told their nuclear weapons were obliterated. And now we're told their nuclear weapons are just moments away from being a bomb. So I guess I don't think the arguments are valid. And I think war should be the last resort, not the first resort. A war of choice is not my choice.
Well, I understand that, but I mean, these are such heavy subjects in terms of the potential for a nuclear bomb for a terrorist nation, the largest or the biggest supporter of terrorist proxies that we've seen. Should we really take that risk?
Well, nobody wants them to have a nuclear weapon, but we were told their nuclear stockpile was obliterated. Their program was completely destroyed 6 months ago, and now we're told maybe it's being resurrected and rejuvenated. So I think it's unclear what the actual truth of that is. Either it was obliterated or they're on the heels of doing it. But we know the arguments that they are moments away from a nuclear weapon have been used repeatedly for decades now. These are not new arguments. And so the question is, what are the limiting rules of engagement? When will we stop having war in the Middle East? Right. I really admired President Trump's rhetoric in both 2016, 2020, and 2024 against being involved in Middle East wars. My fear is that we get drug into a long process here and that chaos results. Order doesn't come from this. Chaos. Most of the wars we've been involved in the Middle East have led to chaos, not more stability.
So what would have been, in your view, the proper response to a rogue nation repeatedly threatening Israel, repeatedly threatening the United States with phrases like death to America while they are building nuclear armament?
Yeah, I think no evidence that a nuclear weapon is being built or close to being built. They were enriching uranium, and they've been willing to negotiate over that for a long time. Now, there's a question of whether or not you can trust them, and most of your enemies you can trust only so far. But there were legitimate negotiations going on. There wasn't a resistance, actually, to negotiation. The negotiations in Oman actually were progressing, and there was a sign that Iran sensed their weakness and that this was an opportune time to obtain a negotiated settlement. Most people don't believe that ultimate, you know, one of the things that's being said now is that we are going for unconditional surrender. That's what we went for in with Japan. And of course, Japan had attacked us. We lost, 400,000 soldiers in World War II. And so we fought that to a conclusion of unconditional surrender, but it required two nuclear weapons. Are people prepared to have nuclear weapons demolish, one or two cities in Iran to get to unconditional surrender?
And again, this has been the constant dispute, right? President Trump saying that that is going to be his red line. He's not going to allow the regime to continue to operate, and he wants a surrender that's going to happen. Folks, it looks like it's going to happen, but again, I mean, how much more do we have to keep doing this? I mean, the fact that we have over, 140 injured U.S. service members so far, we brought back, seven deceased service members. The numbers are absolutely devastating. What is the actual cost we're willing to pay on all of this? And I know when the president launched these attacks, he did tell the American people, yes, there will be a significant amount of fatalities. He didn't say significant. He said there would be potentially fatalities, to be factually correct there. But what are we willing to sacrifice for all of this? I think it's really interesting, too, when you listen, and we're going to keep going into this in just a few moments, but when you listen to how Democrats are even talking about this, because it's so bad that a part of me actually agrees with Democrats on the subject matter right now. I mean, there's certain members out there right now in the Senate specifically, and we'll play this clip for you, where it actually does sound rational because it's up to the White House to control the messaging. And the messaging was quite concerning at the beginning of all of this. As we continue to sift through all of this, we're going to walk you through the very latest. I got that for you in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. It is the March mega sale, and it's going on right now. Up to 40% off some of your favorite supplements over at the shop. That includes NAD+, Ultimate Burn, Life Force, Sea Moss Gummies, MK Ultra, and so much more. Head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. It is one of the incredible offers we have going on over at the website. So make sure you do just that. We also just launched the Iodine over at the Alex Jones store as well. When you become a VIP member, of course, you get 50% off of that. Today, it is 25% off for everyone else. So why not just become a VIP member when you do just that too? By the way, folks, let me just tell you, you're supporting our work. We greatly appreciate you for doing so. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We just launched Iodine today. So head on over there and grab that as well.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public. That's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on it since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvishowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvishowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvishowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theelvishowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're joining us today. A lot going on over here. I have been reaching out to the White House in regards to an Axios report, and I actually just got back a statement from one of their spokespersons. So this is going to be interesting. So let me just backtrack a little bit and walk you through this. What happened yesterday? Well, Axios reported that the White House, through their Deputy Chief of Staff, James Blair, was going around and telling House Republicans during a closed-door briefing to pipe down about the mass deportations angle. Now, they think, this is what, according to them, not me, they were saying that the push for this was not something that they wanted Americans to be talking about, not to be focused on, because, well, they think that this could possibly hurt them in midterms. Now, obviously, that set off a lot of alarms in my mind, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But the reason why I was so concerned about this, and I did reach out to the White House for a response, is because I heard this clip. We'll play clip 10 for you guys, because it sounds like Speaker Mike Johnson's also backing down from mass deportations because he's concerned about how this will reflect on them in the midterms. Take a listen.
Future. We got a little hiccup with some of the Hispanic and Latino voters for certain, because some of the immigration enforcement was viewed to be overzealous, and, you know, everybody can describe it differently. But here's the good news. We're in a course correction mode right now. We're going to have a new Secretary of Homeland Security. Mark Wayne Mullen is going to be do a great job in that role. I'm sure that he'll be confirmed by the Senate. He's a thoughtful guy. He'll bring a thoughtful approach. You have somebody like Tom Homan, who has 40 years experience in the field and was decorated by former Democrat presidents for his acumen and expertise. And he went into Minneapolis and brought calm to the chaos there. That's what you're going to see. And
Yeah. So obviously when I heard that, I said, "Ooh, that's not a good soundbite. That's not a good soundbite," because it sounds like he's backing down. It sounds like he's concerned about losing Hispanic voters. So as many of you guys know, I love being the fact checker of the corporate media. Or, you know, because I can't really call it fact checking only because you don't know if the White House is being honest with you. But I will always be fair, and I'll always ask them for a response. And in that, we got one from Abigail Jackson saying that no one is changing the administration's immigration enforcement agenda. President Trump's highest priority has always been deportations of illegal aliens, illegal alien criminals, by the way. That's exactly how they word it, who endanger American communities. And then they go on to detailing how 70% of those that they've deported are those with criminal records. So the White House is kind of saying, all right, like, not true, I guess you could say. I don't know. It's quite interesting. Quite interesting. Again, we're going to keep following it, because that little snout bite that I heard come from Speaker Johnson, well, it didn't really sound too good. It didn't. All right, let's pivot back to the topic of Iran, because Democratic Senator Chris Murphy, he made a very interesting point. Again, this is a point that I know a lot of people, especially independents, were trying to make in regards to why did we attack Iran? What was the reasoning behind all of this? In clip two, he highlights just that. Take a listen.
What is left? Why are we at war with Iran?
Great question. Yeah, great question. I mean, the simplest explanation, you know, might be the one that they gave 24 hours in, that they've kind of tried to backtrack since then, which is that Israel made us do it. That Bibi decided on this timeline. Netanyahu decided he wanted to attack. And he convinced Trump to join him by scaring Trump into believing that U.S. assets in the region would be at risk. And so Trump was better off just joining Netanyahu. I hope that isn't the full explanation, but you're right. As we are now hearing that the nuclear program is not part of their targeting campaign, as we're now more confident that even harder line leadership is taking hold, as the Strait of Hormuz is, you know, still being shut down, even as we get their Navy, what's left as the explanation? It might just be that Israel forced our hand. And how weak does that make the United States look? How weak are we if our allies can force us into wars of choice that are bad for U.S. national security interests?
Yeah, I think most Americans could back that claim. It is bad for national security interests. Again, we are in the middle of a partial DHS shutdown. Keep that in the back of your minds. Also keep in the back of your minds the fact that, you know, we haven't really deported all of the sleeper cells. We'll get into that in a little bit. But again, I'm going to keep reminding you, only 7.8% of those suspected and known terrorists that were released into the country by the Biden regime, again, that's who they've documented, those are the ones that have been captured. So not even 8%. We're talking 7.8%. That should be scary. That should be very, very scary. You know what should be scarier, though? Learning the president is getting a lot of his foreign policy advice from Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner was someone we were told was not going to have a role in the administration. That's what I thought when he was campaigning. Again, they said, oh, they want to live private life. They don't want anything to do with politics. But of course, now that he's won, Jared Kushner seems to be the front and center of a lot of things. And again, there's a lot of questionable business dealings going on there. But President Trump admitted that when it comes to the Iranian threat, the one that he's been pushing, saying that this was an imminent threat, was brought to him by Jared Kushner. Take a listen to clip three.
The situation was very quickly approaching the point of no return, and the United States found it intolerable, in my opinion, based on what Steve and Jared and Pete and others were telling me, Marco, so involved, that I thought that they were going to attack us. I thought they would, if we didn't do this at the time we did it, I think they had in mind to attack us. And it-
yeah, how horrifying is that? That is the people who are advising you on the subject matter. Again, he didn't say Pete Hegseth, who's obviously leading the Pentagon. So again, folks, I'm deeply concerned that he's getting bad intel, specifically from people who continue to advocate for the destruction of countries and places in the Middle East, and then find themselves saying, we're going to help rebuild. We're going to help rebuild. Please give me billions of dollars so I can help rebuild Gaza. That's exactly who Jared Kushner is. And again, I don't really think there's any good deed that Jared Kushner is going to do that would not benefit him. And so, yeah, I am deeply concerned about all of this. And I think you should, too, at home. I think you should, too. All right. Now, speaking of deeply concerned, I want to highlight this. I was all in on the Iranian sleeper cell issue, because I do truly believe that this is an issue. I do believe that we've imported people from countries that hate us. Not willingly, but of course, you know, the Biden regime allowed anyone into this country because, well, wouldn't you want to see a terror attack again here on U.S. soil that would allow you to implement policies that would take the rights away of Americans? That is my belief. But when it comes to all of this, now I'm like, is it really a real thing? Because the FBI, their counterterrorism agency, is now warning Americans about the possible threat of Iranians retaliating here on U.S. soil. Now they're saying that these threats could involve activating sleeper cells affiliated with terrorist groups. Could also be the lone wolf sympathizers, which you likely saw in New York City. Now, again, we don't know if they're directly linked to what happened in Iran, but I could tell you that they are directly linked to ISIS. We'll get to that in a little bit. We've got the soundbite for you that details that. But when I walk you through all of this information coming out, understand that this is the FBI now warning the American people that there could possibly be a terror attack here on U.S. soil. And I honestly, anytime I hear about the FBI saying something, I'm like, is it true then? That's how I feel right now. I'm like, I don't know if it's true. So they're calling and they're saying that this is an area of concern. And that's the latest report on that front. Now, there's another report that came out. This was from the Daily Mail. The White House has blocked a joint intelligence bulletin that was prepared by the FBI and DHS and National Counterterrorism Center that warned state and local law enforcement of a heightened domestic terror threat that could possibly be carried out here in the United States. According to the Daily Mail, the five-page report detailed potential attacks by Iranian proxies and radicalized individuals. Now, this could be threats to the military personnel. This could also be government facilities, any type of Jewish or Israeli institutions. And that's what they were apparently looking to warn and put out that signal about. But they claimed the White House shut it down. Now, this is interesting. Because I remember we played the clip for you, too, when President Trump was specifically asked about the sleeper cells. He was very hesitant, and he's not normally hesitant. He's very careful with his wording and saying, we're watching them. But then DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, when testifying in front of the Senate and House, did specifically say that she doesn't know where these people are. And again, I don't hold that to her. I do believe that that is probably the truth in all of this. But she is, too, someone who is very hesitant to answer any questions related to this. So I didn't reach out to the White House on that report. But I could tell you that based on the response from both individuals, both Kristi Noem, both President Trump, I could tell you there was an ounce of hesitancy because I don't think they want to detail specifically what that threat is. Now, again, I got that figure, that 7.8% figure of suspected and known terrorists being kicked out of the country based on a very specific question I asked. And then I ran it past what we know from Joe Kent's office. And that's how I got to that number. So I think the White House understands that they haven't quite crunched down on that threat yet. But they also don't want to stir up any type of panic in this country. And listen, I don't care for that. I don't care about public perception. You know, we do what we do because we want the American people to protect themselves. And so I don't think they want us talking about the potential terror attacks that could happen here. Why did it take the FBI this long to come out and talk about this? Again, it doesn't seem to make any sense from that angle. We're well over a week into the attacks in Iran. We've known about this for quite some time now. And again, I've asked for the specific numbers of how many Iranians or Iranians tied to the regime have been arrested and deported. And I remember when you go into the Wayback Machine of just last year when we first carried out those strikes in Iran, I remember DHS, and I reported it to you guys as well, putting out specific press releases that highlighted how many Iranians were arrested. But then all of a sudden, those numbers stopped coming in. Those stories stopped coming in. The most recent report that I had to reflect on was back in January of this year, where they arrested three of those individuals. And they specifically had ties to the Iranian regime. And they outlined that for us. But again, those numbers are significantly small, considering to the threat that we know based on what Joe Ken has put out there. And the Biden regime, their DHS even admitted to, yeah, well, we did release. They only admitted to a couple of hundred. And then Joe Ken said, no, there's a couple of thousand, actually. So it's all very, very concerning. Very, very concerning. Ted Cruz is also out there talking about this threat and says that the United States should prepare for potential sleeper cells to be activated. Again, we've heard from our government, and our government says everything's okay. Don't worry. Don't panic, but just be on high alert. The president of the United States also is saying that we've intercepted some of those messages as well. But take a listen to what Ted Cruz was alerting to the American people in clip four.
Are you concerned about sleeper cells? There's been discussion
yes.
of that.
Look, the risk of terrorism right now is quite high. We tragically saw in Austin, Texas, just last weekend, we saw a terrorist attack. We also saw another terrorist attack in New York City. There is a heightened danger of terrorism right now, and I will say it is particularly indefensible that Democrats have shut down the Department of Homeland Security while we are facing an enhanced terrorist risk. The Department of Homeland Security exists to guard against terrorist attacks. The danger has never been higher than right now, particularly after 4 years of open borders under Joe Biden. We know that radical Islamic terrorists entered this country, and there's a vulnerability all across this country. It is disgraceful and indefensible for the Democrats to vote party line not to fund the Department of Homeland Security right now. We need to open it up and fully fund it.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. By the way, in Canada right now, there's been warnings that were pushed out. I know yesterday I was reading the National Pulse, which detailed in Canada that they believe that there's about 700 of these potential sleeper cells currently in Canada. And again, I've spoken about it. I've spoken to DHS officials. The Canadian border, the Canadian-U.S. border is by far one of the most unsecure borders. It's actually far more unsecure than the Mexico-U.S. border. And I know a lot of people don't really understand how that's possible, but the Canadians don't care about patrolling the border, of course, because no one's going up from the United States to Canada. In fact, they're going from Canada to the United States, and it's obviously a very large border. And we're strongly relying on local sheriff's offices to patrol that border. But keep in the back of your mind, 700 was the last figure they threw out there. Now, why am I saying that? Well, I'm saying that because there were reports that there was three synagogues over these last few days that were attacked. Apparently, this is in the Toronto area. They're saying that there was three synagogues that were shot at. And that was this month. No injuries being reported there. But then yesterday, police in Toronto, Canada, said they were investigating shots being fired at the U.S. consul building, which took place yesterday morning. I wanted you to listen specifically to how he words all of this, because I think it's quite interesting in clip five. Take a listen.
Police that these shootings, the synagogues, and this shooting at the consulate are related in any way to St. Peter's Wall?
No, we haven't had any information on that. But again, this is just me speaking. I believe there's sleeper cells all over the world, as we know. They're in the U.S., they're in Canada here. And we have to weed these people out and hold them accountable. Because, again, folks, we all grew up here, very peaceful, loving communities all across the province. And for these people to be doing this, they need to be caught and they need to be thrown in jail for life.
Yeah, who is he talking about there? Who is he talking about there? I wonder who. Yeah, Canada used to be really beautiful and peaceful, like he just alluded to there. But guess what? They imported people that hate them, just like us. And Canada is actually pretty far gone these days. So now you could just assume how bad that threat is actually. And so when we go over this, it's just important to highlight that. Again, our Canadian-U.S. border is very, very open right now. And it's only if, of course, our local sheriffs on that border actually patrol it. I want to pivot a little bit to the New York City ISIS-inspired terror attack that took place. Now, thankfully, nobody was killed in all of this. But it's crazy, because this is why politics is so divisive right now, because it depends who your outlet is, right? If you are watching InfoWars, you're going to get a certain angle to it all, but it's the truth. But if you're watching CNN, they don't want to offend people, but most importantly, they don't want to prove our points right. And so they're going to completely leave out certain key facts and stories. They don't want to talk about the fact that those two individuals, those two teens in New York City that decided to throw, and again, we don't even know if they were active bombs. We don't even know how sophisticated they were. It looks like that they weren't that sophisticated, but again, there tends to be a little bit of an over description on a lot of this. I saw IEDs being tossed around there. They didn't look like IEDs, ones that you would see possibly in the Middle East. But again, obviously we all know what IEDs mean and you kind of get a little fired up over it. But CNN's dancing around this fact that Islam was what motivated those attacks. And it's interesting because Abby Phillip, who is obviously, she pretends to be fair and balanced, right? She hosts a show every night and she goes and she'll step in whenever it's a Republican speaking. She'll cut him off to say, that's not true. That's not true. And then she wants to pivot. And she tends to dismiss truthful information, tries to write it off as misinformation because, well, either she's ignorant on the subject matter or she's actually just a propagandist. Probably a mix of both. But in clip six, just listen to how she dances around the fact that these were Islamic terrorists. Take a listen.
Two Republicans say Muslims don't belong here after an attempted terror attack against New York's mayor, Zohran Mamdani, and the House Speaker, Mike Johnson, says nothing really to condemn those comments. Another special guest is going to be with us at the table when we come.
Yeah. You notice how she says that it was an attack outside of Zohran Mamdani. She's making Zohran Mamdani look like the victim of all of this. Zohran Mamdani wasn't. There was an anti-Muslim, very small group of people, less than two dozen who were gathered out there to protest, according to reports. And because of that small group of people, that's why they did what they did. They threw it at them. They didn't throw it at Zohran Mamdani hoping to kill him. They threw it at a group of people who were against the Muslim invasion. And so when she sits there and does just that, you've got to be really cautious when listening to CNN. Obviously, our audience is well-versed on this. We say it how it is. I'm not going to sit here and try to appease the jihadists in this country. But that's what she's doing. And again, the NYPD commissioner came out and detailed specifically for you. I mean, I played it for you. CNN sat there and they had to take down a post because it was something about like the beautiful weather outside that day and two teens just getting into a little bit of a dispute. But it just goes to highlight how bad they were trying to downplay all of this. And in fact, the mayor, I don't see the mayor keeping Zohran Mamdani. I don't see him keeping around the NYPD commissioner for very long because she actually dished out the truth as to what the motive behind all of this was. Take a listen to clip seven.
As Kayumi said in recorded post-arrest statements that he had watched ISIS propaganda on his phone and that his actions that day were partly inspired by ISIS. The complaint also details statements made by Amir Balat after his arrest. En route to the NYPD precinct, Balat made spontaneous statements without being questioned by NYPD officers that were captured on body-worn camera footage. He said, "This isn't a religion that just stands when people talk about the blessed name of the prophet. We take action, we take action." As well as, "If I didn't do it, someone else will come and do it." And later, after waiving his rights, he requested paper and wrote a message declaring in part I pledge my allegiance to the Islamic State. Die in your rage, you kuffar. Now, die in your rage is a commonly known ISIS slogan, and kuffar is an Arabic term that refers to non-believers.
Yeah, wouldn't you hate to call out what this actually all means? Wouldn't you hate to do that? You know, it's crazy, too, because when you sit back and you watch all of this, it's pretty insane, because those over at CNN and other outlets don't want to talk about what the motive behind all of this is. Even Zohri Mahdani himself, the jihadist that was elected, I guess you could say. It's all awful, but this is what I expected. I don't know about you guys, but I didn't expect them to be truthful on any of this. I expected them to downplay all of this because they don't want Muslims in New York City to be targeted. Because Zohri Mahdani continues to go out there and brag about all the new mosques that have popped up throughout New York City, which is devastating for those who actually grew up around the city, worked in the city, enjoyed the nightlife in the city. It was once a beautiful city. Now, can't. Because if it's in Port of the Third World and it's all there. Oh, by the way, the family of one of the alleged jihadists, the 19-year-old, Abraham Kamim, I think is probably how you say it. We'll go with that. Well, his family is worried about him potentially taking his own life, and he said he was, they thought suicidal when he vanished from his home. By the way, they live in I'm not sure if it's this one, but his family lives in a $2.3 million property. Afghans who came to this country, so ungrateful. This is a thank you they gave you. But again, you could sit there and talk about the immigration system, but they are radicalizing these kids online, going to places like allegedly Turkey, like Saudi Arabia, according to reports. And it's very likely that's where they were training. No surprise there. All right, Matt Boyle is going to be joining us in a moment, and I look forward to having a conversation with him on a lot going on right now. We'll also get into the latest regarding Jeffrey Epstein. We've got the latest pieces of information about the New Mexico ranch that was just raided. I'll bring you the latest on that. Plus, the oversight committee wants to sit down with the prison guard who allegedly got a $5,000 deposit placed in her account just weeks prior, or days prior, I should say, to Jeffrey Epstein allegedly killing himself. We'll go over that because it's quite interesting, the new information coming out on that front. In the meantime, though, head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. It's the March Mega Sale. It's going on right now. Up to 40% off on some of your favorite supplements over at the shop. So you got to stop what you're doing and head on over there right now. Also, today we just launched iodine. Head on over. It's 50% off if you're a VIP member. We love our VIP members because you help keep us on air. You're supporting our work. And we're grateful for you. So we're going to pass that on in the form of a discount. 50% off. If you are a VIP member. If you're not a VIP member, you only get 25% off, but we are so grateful for your support as well. So head on over to galaxyjonesstore.com today.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now, new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up, go to the UN's own website, they admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put in the salt, IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexjonesstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better. at thealexjonesstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot going on over here that we're going to be diving into, and we look forward to just that. But, folks, when it comes to all of this, I got to say, when it comes to the threat, when it comes to the CCP threat, it's obviously very concerning. And those who are currently over at the White House right now, they are on high alert regarding all of this. And so it's refreshing to hear that the secretary, the nomination to run the DHS secretary, Mark Wayne Mullen, is someone who is hyper-focused on the CCP threat. And I love to hear that. Because it's something that we don't talk about quite often. We know that the Biden regime sold us out. They sold us out. And there was a story that I was going to get to you guys as we shuffle through all the papers in regards to it. New information coming out about the Biden regime. The Biden DOD gave a $130 million defense contract to a company called Joby. It's a company that has ties to the CCP. And it's resulted in a lawsuit being filed regarding that. Archer Aviation has filed that lawsuit against the company. And they say that they were actually concealing their extensive ties to the Chinese supplier. Now, again, it's very likely, and this is what we do, of course, to our own people. We really, really, really just screw our own country over. But the Biden DOD signing and purchasing $130 million from this company. It's an absolute disgrace, but not surprising. Matt Boyle from Breitbart is going to be joining us in just a few moments. I look forward to talking to him about all of this. He's obviously got a lot to discuss because, well, he sat down and did actually speak with Mullen. He actually just released that interview. It's actually quite the interesting interview. I learned a lot from it. I thought I was someone who knew everything it was to know about the CCP. Well, no. Mullen drops a lot of gems in that interview, and I look forward to having Matt on in just a moment to discuss it. Again, we're going to be walking you through the latest in the Epstein files, as well as I actually reached out to the Pentagon about a TMZ report claiming that the Pentagon has spent millions of dollars on steak, lobster, ribeye, salmon, and $124,000 on ice cream machines. So I asked the Pentagon for contacts. And if there's an ice cream machine that they've just put in the Pentagon, I'd like to know what floor it's on. So when I go to a report, I know where to go. Okay, I didn't ask about that. I thought that might be a little unprofessional. But I love a good ice cream machine. And if they spend $124,000 on that ice cream machine, chances are it's a really good ice cream machine. So I'm hoping it's somewhere at the Pentagon. I'll find it, though. I'll find it. We'll also dive into Ed Martin, who's now being targeted again. This guy just like, because he's so great at his job, that everyone that you and I know is trying to destroy this country, they go after him. They go after him. The DC Bar, which is obviously a group of liberal hacks, right? We've seen them go after so many incredible patriots like Rudy Giuliani, Jeff Clark. That's what they do. They target those who are trying to help the president. Well, obviously, Ed Martin is the attorney for President Trump, and so they're going after him. I'll walk you through the very latest on that front. Todd Blanche is responding, too. And remember, Todd Blanche is or was a Democrat, however you want to put that. So he's responding to it and saying, yeah, I mean, even for me, I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to be a member of the DC bar. So I'll keep that update in just a little bit. By the way, and I can't wait to talk to Matt about this, John Cornyn has just released an op-ed. It's over in the New York Post right now. And within that op-ed, he's going after his fellow Republicans and telling them, look, let's just toss out the filibuster. Why is he talking about that and passing the Save America Act? Well, because he got a little ultimatum. If Republicans do just that, Ken Paxton said he'd drop out of the race. And so if you're someone like John Cornyn right now, who obviously is hated by so many, you'd want him to drop out. By the way, I ratioed John Cornyn yesterday by just telling him that everyone hates you, John, in one of his posts. And I got like thousands of more likes than anything John Cornyn's ever posted. If you ever want to watch someone get ratioed pretty badly, go to Cornyn's Twitter page. It's bad. It's real bad. We'll be right back.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com, and thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there.
Ah! Yeah!
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all here today joining us. A lot to dive into. Matt Boyle will be joining me in just a moment to kind of walk us through a little bit of what's going down right now. I wanted to go over this, though. I wanted to go over specifically what's happening right now. Well, what will be happening in just a few moments, and I think Monday is the day officially, when the Senate will take up Mark Wayne Mullen. Now, as many of you guys know, he's a U.S. Senator currently, but he's actually going to be replacing, if he gets his way, President Trump, he will be replacing DHS Secretary Kristi Noem. And that's something, obviously, that's been very controversial. Obviously, Noem didn't have a very good couple of hearings when she testified in front of the Senate and then the House. Didn't go well for her. So she has been, we'll say demoted. I know a lot of people are saying she's fired, but I wouldn't say that because she's been given a new position. So it's not exactly a firing. I'd say it's a demotion though, for sure. But Mark Wayne Mullen has been hyper-focused on the CCP threat. And I thought it was quite interesting because he sat down with Breitbart and he actually did a really impressive interview where he details the CCP threat itself and how the CCP has a long-term 100-year plan to pretty much just have global dominance. Now, obviously, many of you at home are probably familiar with the Belt and Road Initiative. But Mullen does a great job at walking the American people through just that. And Matt, who joins us now, he's the D.C. Bureau Chief for Breitbart. He was the one who sat down with Mullen. And so we're excited to have Matt on the show today to walk us all through this. Matt, thank you for being here. It's, of course, an honor to have you on the show. You have your pulse on everything related to Washington, D.C., so we look forward to this discussion. I wanted to start off with this one because our audience is well aware of the CCP threat, and I love how you and Mullen sat down and you did this interview. It's an extensive interview, but it's for those who maybe don't understand the CCP threat. He walks you through their 100-year plan to have just complete global dominance here in the U.S. So for our audience, which I highly recommend you guys head on over to Breitbart to watch the full interview. Again, it was a great discussion that you two had. Walk us through the threat and how he sees it.
Yeah, well, and amazingly, by the way, the a little behind the scenes on this is that we did the interview before the president picked him to lead DHS, and we were planning to release it a little closer to the president's trip to China, which is upcoming in early April. Kind of a curveball here in the timing. So we had to move it up and move quickly when the president picked Senator Mullen to replace Secretary Noem as the Secretary of Homeland Security. But the gist of it is that I've been talking to Senator Mullen about this in other interviews. We always get sidetracked on it because it's such an important topic. So I've been talking to him about going in into his Senate office and doing a big, hour-long on-camera long-form special where this is the main topic. And so we finally were able to make it happen in early February. And the gist of it is that the Chinese Communist Party has been engaged in this decades-long plan – to essentially take over the world. What they're doing is they have the Belt and Road Initiative, where they're essentially trying to recreate the old Silk Road, and create on-ramps and off-ramps that all the roads basically lead back to China. The way they look at it in China is that the center of the world is in Beijing, and that what they're trying to do is use their influence. What we call debt diplomacy, where they come in and they offer these, what seems originally to some of these poorer countries like really lucrative terms to build them infrastructure like ports or airports or railways or all sorts of different things. And then what ends up happening is the countries can't pay. A lot of African countries, Latin American countries, Asian countries, they can't pay the terms of the deal. So then the Chinese end up taking it over and they end up owning the port that they built in these various countries. And then they can control, they have geopolitical control through, the waterways, through the seaways, through the trade lanes on land. Essentially it helps them build a global hegemony, because what ends up happening is these poor countries end up in so much debt to them. And China was making some real serious progress in the lead up to the COVID pandemic. They were breaking into Europe, into places like Greece and Italy, and whatnot. Now we're starting to see in both of those countries. I've actually gone to both of those countries. I was just in that, Greece and Italy, in the middle of February. I have a lot of stories coming from both of those places about exactly this as well. But the point is that, since COVID, we've seen a lot of the rest of the world move away from them. A big focus of our interview too is on Latin America. And you just saw President Trump with the Shield of the Americas Summit, mm-hmm. bring together all of these, Latin American leaders. And by the way, that's where Kristi Noem is going next, right? Like, she's going to be the special envoy to this Shield of the Americas, initiative of the president. So it's technically, I guess, a demotion because it's not a cabinet position, but the point is that it's as important because it's about stopping China from building the influence in the Western Hemisphere. Obviously, one of the biggest things that we've seen President Trump do since his return to the White House has been getting American companies back in control of the Panama Canal. Mm-hmm. The Chinese had bought the companies that were running both sides of the Panama Canal, so they would be able to, in a wartime, for instance, or in a trade escalation, be able to block American ships, whether those are Navy ships or trade ships, et cetera, from being able to make it through the canal, which is an extremely important waterway that can, connect the Western world with the Eastern world, or for the East Coast with the West Coast, because then they don't have to sail all the way down around South America. It cuts off 2 weeks of travel time. A lot of this is about seaways and about trade lanes and shipping routes and geopolitical control. Another big thing we talked about was Taiwan. So again, this wasn't an interview like planning that he was going to be the DHS secretary, just kind of the timing worked out that way. But I do think that it is illustrative in that it shows just how deeply incoming secretary, current Senator Mullen, has been focused on the threats to our national security, and particularly China, which is our greatest adversary, during his time in public office. And so I think he'll be well prepared, at least on this front, to take over at the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah, Matt, and it sounds like that was probably one of the key factors in President Trump asking Mullen to take over for this position, because I think he understands it better than anyone, the president. He understands the CCP threats, and we've seen him constantly going out there and doing things that I think a lot of Americans don't understand what he's doing. The focus on the rare earth minerals and the semiconductors has been a big one for him. I kind of want you to walk through it, or walk our audience through all of this, because you also detailed the CCP trying to replace the U.S. dollar as well as the world's reserve currency. You also go into detail as well about Huawei as well, and the infrastructure issues there. And as you mentioned, also the Taiwan semiconductors, this is all related. And this is a key element to this. I think a lot of people, too, when I used to work over at Fox, a lot of people thought the rare mineral segments we do were a total snooze fest. I was probably the only one really interested in this because I knew that this was a big issue for Americans and we just didn't care to look at it. But the president seems to get just that. So what did you learn from your interview with the senator about how he views all of that as the role, I guess, it plays in the 100-year plan to take over the global dominance, I guess I should say?
Well, I mean, that's what a country that's going to try to take over the world and supplant the United States as the world's sole superpower.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what they would do, right? Like they would have their currency replace the yen, replace the dollar. They would be taking control of the mining and refining of various rare earth minerals in places like Africa and elsewhere around the world. They would be controlling energy. A big part of energy makes the world go round. We see this with the Iran war right now, where the Strait of Hormuz is so important, mm-hmm. right? Like, if you can't get the ships through there, the oil price goes up to north of $100 a barrel. And that's what happened over the weekend. Right. Like, and then the thanks to our friends in Greece, by the way, it was able to they got a Greek ship through and they were able to bring the price back down. But the point is that energy is everything. It makes the world go around. And this is a place where China is particularly weak. They don't have the energy domestically in China that they need to be able to accomplish these ends. And that is why. And this is one of the things that Senator Mullen explained in this interview, that a lot of what President Trump is doing, whether it's Venezuela, whether it's Iran, and again, this interview was taped before the Iran war started, but whether it's China, whether it's Iran, whether it's all these other places, a lot of the actions that the president is taking right now are designed to counter China on energy. And it's worth noting that when the night that the president authorized the capture of Nicolas Maduro, literally that night, a senior Chinese delegation had touched down in Caracas in Venezuela. And look, the president's not blocking China from buying energy at market price. What was happening, though, is that the Chinese were, through their geopolitical deals with communist allies around the world, like Venezuela, or with, you know, terrorist countries like, the leading exporter of terrorism, Iran, they were getting significant discounts on the exports, Chinese imports of their energy products. And so like 30-40% off type of deal, that is coming to an end. And I think that's a big part of what's going on in Venezuela. That's a big part of what's going on in Iran, is it's about stopping China from getting the energy that they need to be able to accomplish this objective. So that's one of the big things that we talked about there. I think that what the senator did here is really connect the dots. I don't think I can point to another interview with a major elected official where they have really laid it out as clearly as Senator Mullen did here. My hope is that this gets more people talking about different elements of it, because to your point, they're all interconnected. And I you'll hear different lawmakers talk about different parts of these things, mm-hmm. but you'll never hear anybody really connect all the dots as clearly as this. And so my hope is that this is the beginning of something bigger, where you start seeing people really clearly connecting these dots and understanding the bigger picture.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a top priority for this administration as well. And we look forward to seeing, I know over at the FBI, they were really concerned about the CCP threat, and they've actually made a bunch of arrests here on U.S. soil regarding people that they deem are a threat to our national security and working for the Chinese Communist Party. So we'll keep our eye on that. I wanted to pivot a little bit, though, because we all are well-versed on the Save America Act these days, because President Trump doesn't stop pushing for it. And it's been interesting. He's trying to create a pressure campaign to get the Senate to do its job, and that is to push it through and to pass it. And that's something that they've really been unwilling to do. Now, we heard from the speaker yesterday, John Thune, actually, was discussing just that in clip 14. Take a listen.
We don't have the votes either to proceed, get on a talking filibuster, nor to sustain one if we got on it. But that's just a, that is just a function of math. And there isn't anything I can do about that. I mean, I understand the president's got a passion to see this issue addressed, as we all do.
Does he understand that, though?
Well, we've conveyed that to him, but, we will continue to make that argument because I think it's important that everybody understand that this really is about, it's about the votes. It's about the math. And, for better or worse, I'm the one who has to be the clear-eyed realist about what we can achieve here. And so we'll continue to convey that. And I think that we're going to have the fight on the floor. We're going to vote on this. We're going to put it up, and we'll give the Democrats the opportunity to cast their vote on whether or not they think non-citizens ought to vote in American elections.
All right, that vote's expected to be had next week, it looks like. How do you think that's going to go for Republicans?
Well, they're gonna have a majority of senators vote for the Save America Act, right? So it'll be in the 50s. The problem is that the current Senate rules, require it to be 60 votes, to be able to pass legislation if it isn't reconciliation. And so the fact of the matter is that Thune's not wrong when he says that they don't have the votes to, and that it's a math question, about nuking the filibuster or changing the Senate rules to be able to lower the threshold down to a simple majority, which is what they should do. Frankly, the Democrats are going to do that as soon as they get the majority back one day. They fully intend to change the, get rid of the filibuster, and the Republicans are just tying two hands behind their back by opposing this. Now, the latest development today, this morning, is that Senator John Cornyn, the four terms seeking a fifth term in the United States Senate, he's been in the Senate for 24 years, he's 74 years old, is now come out magically after his entire life. And by the way, he was literally saying the exact same thing. John Cornyn was like a week ago that Thune is saying now. And again, it's not inaccurate, right? Like to point out, they do not have the votes to do this. But the point is that Cornyn just came out and now says he supports trying to change the Senate rules to be able to get this done. Okay, fine. But the point here is that Cornyn knows who the votes are. He used to be the whip in the Senate Republican Conference, right? So he used to be the Senate GOP whip for like 6 or 7 years. The point is that he knows which senators support this and which ones don't. They won't tell us who supports it and who doesn't. We have to rely on the members themselves coming forward and saying one way or the other. If Cornyn actually supported the position that he says he now supports, what he would do is take the information that we know he has because he was the Senate GOP whip, and he would release it to the public so that everybody could see where each senator stands. So right now, Cornyn is keeping a secret whip list in his desk that he won't release to the American public and to the voters of Texas, because and one could argue that Cornyn doesn't actually support the position that he now says he supports, because he knows that there's enough other votes from other senators to block what it is that he now says he supports. So he's just doing it out of desperation to try to get President Trump to endorse him. President Trump was pretty much set to endorse him after the primary last week. But what's happened since then is there have been a number of revelations about John Cornyn over the course of this week. And Ken Paxton, the attorney general of Texas and the other candidate who's also in the runoff against Cornyn, has made the Save America Act passage the centerpiece of his campaign. What's happened is President Trump has moved off of endorsing Cornyn. Now, I mean, I can tell you my sources in the Trump political universe say the president is not happy with John Cornyn and is not happy with all of this. So what's happening right now is that Cornyn is desperate to try to get back in Trump's good graces, because the only prayer of a chance that Cornyn has of defeating Ken Paxton is that Trump endorses him. But that's no surefire guarantee either. Even if President Trump endorses Cornyn, and look, I am somebody who believes the president's endorsement is the most powerful tool in American political history. I don't think we've ever had anything like it, and I don't think we ever will again. But the polling data seems to suggest that doesn't even give Cornyn a clear fire path to defeating Ken Paxton. So, but all of this right now that you're seeing from Cornyn is kabuki theater. What he's trying to do is he's desperately trying to get the president back on his side. He lost the president over the last week, right? All the things that have come out about Cornyn siding with people like Lisa Monaco, siding with people like Merrick Garland and, all the, James Comey, all the weaponization against President Trump. Cornyn voted for Samantha Power for the United Nations. I mean, like all of this stuff that's come out over the course of the last week has just been devastating. Cornyn fell for every single hoax against President Trump, from the Russia hoax, all the way through all the stuff about the J6 people, et cetera. He sided with Jack Smith against President Trump. So all of that stuff, Cornyn's lost the president. So now, Cornyn's desperately trying to get the president back. So that's what's going on here, right? Like, and all of this is kabuki theater by senators. But again, if Cornyn really supported the position that he now claims to support and come around on, he would release his secret whip list that he has in his desk right now, which we all know he has because he was the Senate Republican whip. And he knows where every single senator in the Republican conference is. On nuking the filibuster and getting rid of it so that way they can pass things like the Save America Act. But Cornyn won't do that. He won't release the secret whip list because he's there. He's using the fact that the other senators oppose it and he knows there's enough of them, to just try to trick people into thinking that he's with the president.
Yeah. And Matt, you know, you and I on X, we go back and forth and we're constantly posting all the bad things that John Cornyn has said and done over these last few years. And it's quite obvious that this is not an ally of the president. But I think it's funny in his op-ed that he writes specifically the New York Post got their hands on this. And of course, he's trying to do his very best by giving it to a right-leaning outlet. But he says, you know, now he's calling for Senate Republicans to adopt whatever changes may need approval just to pass the president's Save America bill. And again, this is hilarious to me because he's someone who's stood in the way of all of this. I mean, he's the one who won't even confirm President Trump's own picks. He stood in the way of a lot of that. He's trashed them through the media as well. So we got about a minute left. Do you think John Cornyn has any shot at winning this? I mean, they spent over, what is it, nearly $100 million just to get him in the runoff race. Do you think Ken Paxton's going to back down? Do you think that they're going to keep at this? Like, where do you see this all heading to?
Well, I far be it from me to predict the future. But, like, again, Cornyn is desperate to get President Trump's endorsement. He needs that to survive, right? Like, if he gets Trump's endorsement, anything's possible. But the point is that I would say that all the energy right now is with Ken Paxton. I could see the president endorse Ken Paxton. I know the president likes Ken Paxton a lot, right? Like, so I don't know what the president's going to do. I haven't spoken to the president, so I can't tell you what he's thinking. So I don't know. I've talked to people around him, but so we'll see. So but if I were Ken Paxton, I'd keep fighting because I think that Ken Paxton's winning right now.
Yeah, I think he is. I think the people are on his side. And I love, it's a hobby of mine these days, going to John Cornyn's Twitter page and looking at how everyone like ratios the guy. I've never seen anything like it before in my life. But it's an insane amount of just like people commenting and going after him for just being absolutely disrespectful to his base, his constituents in Texas. And there's very few likes on his posts. And it just goes to show that I think that once we get down to the gritty of all of this, I don't think he's going to win his election. So we'll see. Matt, thank you for all the incredible work you do. Again, for our audience right now, over at Breitbart, their website right now, you can actually watch that full interview with Mullen. It's available right now. It's about 38 minutes, I think. So definitely go and do that. You'll learn a lot. I learned a lot. And we're very grateful for you to put this out, especially early, because now we could all know what we're getting into as we head into this confirmation hearing. So, Matt, thank you for all the incredible work you do over at Breitbart News Network. We greatly appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks, Marianne.
Thank you so much. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We got more to discuss in just a moment. In the meantime, though, if you're going to go anywhere, it should be thealexjonesstore.com. Why? Well, we have the March Mega Sale going on right now to 40% off your favorite supplements over at the shop. Make sure you head on over there and do just that. All right, Epstein's next. Don't go anywhere.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalists. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalists. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigley. The backup Alex Jones Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, you keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesStore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
Brianna Morello has the dots they don't want connected. The truth they can't censor. The American Journal continues live on X and band.video worldwide.
All right, let's dive back into the news headlines that we've gathered for you. Before we do, though, let me just let y'all know, I will be taking your calls in just a few moments. If you'd like to join the show in the third hour program, the number is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We'll be discussing the topics we've talked about thus far, of course. That is the number you're going to want to call into if you'd like to join the show. 877-789-2539 is that number. All right, let's give you an update regarding Jeffrey Epstein and the latest to come out of these emails. As many of you guys know, we've talked about the emails regarding that New Mexico ranch. And, you know, it's believed to be that there might be two deceased girls somewhere buried on the property. And the property is massive. It's thousands and thousands of acres. It's the Zorro Ranch property. And right now, as many of you guys know, you might have saw yesterday, New Mexico authorities, including police and the Department of Justice, launched a major search of that property, which, according to the emails, say that potentially two girls were allegedly strangled during rough sex and their bodies were potentially buried here. Now, again, this was a anonymous 2019 email that claimed that the former ranch worker that described the deaths and the burials were ordered by Jeffrey Epstein and possibly Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, there's also additional claims tying the ranch to human experiments that were going on, non-consensual medical procedures, drugging, organ harvesting, and other horrific, horrific activities. That was based on a tip that came late last year as well. Now, again, the property is 7,500 acres. It was sold in 2023 and has been linked, of course, to both Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein. And the trafficking claims that were made by Virginia Gouffre as well. So that's what happened yesterday. So we'll see what comes from that. Again, I mean, this is a massive property. So this will likely take a very long time for them to search for all of these potential dead bodies that were buried there. But it highlights, again, the frustrations. And the fact that the DOJ is there doesn't really give me any confidence at all, actually. I'd rather local law enforcement be the ones leading all of this. Don't even let the feds in there. Why? Well, because the feds and local law enforcement were apparently both investigating these claims, and local law enforcement backed out in New Mexico because they claimed that the feds were taking over and that was it. The feds were going to lead the entire investigation. And I don't like that because we can't trust the DOJ. We've seen this time and time again. They do more to cover for all of this than actually to be transparent. And for me, I don't like that. And I'm sure the rest of you at home understand the significance as to why we're not fans of the DOJ being anywhere near this investigation. All right, let's keep digging. Because as many of you guys know, there was that report that there was the $5,000 deposit that was made into one of the guards' accounts. Now, the money was apparently given over weeks before Jeffrey Epstein allegedly killed himself. Now, it's interesting because the guard was actually interviewed by the DOJ. And if you're wondering, well, what was asked? Well, hear me out. There was actually no questions related to the deposit, apparently. So DOJ never even asked this guard as to, well, why did you get $5,000 dropped into your account just prior before the death of Jeffrey Epstein on your watch? And they never even asked. One would assume you'd ask if you were legitimately leading an investigation, but again, doesn't seem to be the case. Now, the Oversight Committee Chairman, James Comer, is apparently going to be having a conversation, or is looking to have a conversation, with that guard. Take a listen to clip 8.
Reports, what you just said, is very concerning, especially the suspicious activity report on a $5,000 mysterious deposit that she had. And the reason that stands out to me, Jesse, is because very seldom are suspicious activity reports even reported for sums less than $10,000. So that's a mystery there, and that's something that, according to the DOJ documents, they never looked into, never asked her about. So because of this, because of the media reports, and because of the fact that, honestly, most people on the committee aren't confident 100% that Epstein's death was by suicide, we're going to ask Ms. Noel to come in for a transcribed interview. Again, no one's accusing her of any wrongdoing, but we have a lot of questions about Epstein, questions about who else was involved in abusing girls. Why did the government not do a better job of investigating and prosecuting Epstein when they had a chance years before they finally convicted him? Was Epstein a spy? Was our government involved in any way, shape, or form in trying to destroy evidence or hide evidence from any of those four properties? And now, was Epstein's death a suicide, as the government has reported, or was there some other mysterious factor involved in his death? So, again, no one's accusing this prison guard of any wrongdoing, but I will announce tonight on your show, we are going to ask her to come in and sit for an interview because we have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I think the American people have a lot of questions that are worth answering, and we look forward to just that. Again, that interview needs to be had. I can't believe the DOJ wouldn't ask those simple questions. It's obviously something that's very concerning and would warrant questions being asked. Again, none of this was ever real. This was never a real investigation. That's quite clear. Again, also, I keep saying again, but Bill Barr was the one who was leading the DOJ at the time. Keep that in the front of your mind for all of this. But when it comes to what it was like from the perspective of a woman who at the time was a girl who was trafficked by Epstein, well, in clip 9, one of those survivors is actually speaking out to talk about how Epstein was getting away with this and what he was actually doing to these young girls when it comes to the lie that he was pushing to get them to come to New York. Take a listen to clip.
So let's just stick to some facts. So when he went to South Africa, to Cape Town, Jeffrey set up like a modeling. Cape Town's a big modeling market where girls travel to work. I did. Right after high school, 1998, in 2003, I went there for 6 months and I worked as a model there. You do magazines and catalogs and TV commercials and you really build your book so that you're worth more when you come back to New York to work as a model. So Epstein is a fact, set up with his secretaries and his assistants, older assistants that were there, modeling, casting where, girls would show up and, you know, if he liked a particular one, you know, he got their information and then later on he flew them from Cape Town to New York. So, and I know some girls that were involved in that, who were abused on that trip. So let's just say this is a fact that happened. How much do those other men know what was going on? Did he do that in secrecy? And the other men don't really know what's going on around him. So I just find it, my whole point is, I just find it odd that anyone would say, oh, I have no idea what he was doing. Yeah. When this was, he didn't mention the casting. He didn't mention the beautiful young girls that he was meeting there who later were shipped from Cape Town to New York City, shipped to the island, shipped to different places, you know? So this is just the way that he operated.
Sex trafficking 101.
Basically.
Right there.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That is sex trafficking. You put someone on a plane and ship them somewhere else and then.
That's it.
They get trapped on the island. Their passports are taken away. And then next minute you're like told to go into this room to have sex with this person.
It's absolutely devastating. And of course it was allowed to take place because our government turned the other way. They didn't want to look at this. They didn't want to go after this man. I wonder why. Well, we all know why. Folks, are going to be taking your calls in just a few moments. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. Again, that's 877-789-2539. That is the number you're going to want to call right now to jump on those lines. We'll start taking those calls in about 20 minutes. So again, get on those hold lines and we'll go down the caller list as we do all the time. All right, let's turn to the next topic. I don't know if you saw, and I, of course, we don't disclose the actual location of where she's being held, but the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, has relocated from her Washington, D.C. apartment to secure military housing on a base near the Capitol. Now, of course, this is obviously because of a lot of the death threats that are thrown her way and the threats that are also stemming from the drug cartels looking to go and strike back as President Trump goes after them through, their own government. I mean, it's real. The threats are real, obviously, against Pam Bondi's life. And so for that, especially because she got the president of Venezuela right now, Nicolas Maduro as well. It's one of the many reasons why she's being held and being housed, I guess you should say, at a military base instead of her own personal apartment complex. So, of course, this is something that's obviously concerning, but it's one of the many layers to all of this. This is something that you're going to have to deal with. I mean, sadly, you have to deal with this because you're going after these cartels who do kill politicians all the time when they don't get their way. And so Pam Bondi's having to sadly flee, which obviously you don't want for her. I obviously disagree with her, and I think she's doing a horrific job, but here we are. Speaking of the DOJ, I want to pivot to this. Ed Martin, who you all know I love and truly think is a real fighter over at the DOJ, and that's why they're trying to push back on him internally. But it's not just that. It's also the D.C. bar. They're also going after our good friend Ed Martin. They're looking to target him because they're not happy with Ed. They put out like this little detailed report yesterday, pretty much outlining how they're going to go after him. The charges stem from a letter that he sent last year to Georgetown University Law center, to the dean specifically, this letter was sent to. It's about the school's diversity, equity, and inclusion program. Now, the bar is threatening to go after him now because of all of this. And they're not very happy with him. The complaint that was put together and was sent their way. By the way, this has been ongoing. This has been about a year now, the bar looking into this. They're saying in the complaint that was issued that Martin violated the First and Fifth Amendment by using his government position to go after and kind of bully, you know, this is how they say from their perspective, Georgetown University. Now, again, Ed Martin's a fighter and they're going after him because he's President Trump's attorney. I can't say this enough. Because he is working with the President of the United States, they don't like Ed, and so they're going to try their very best to push him out of this. And so that's what you see happening right now. It's interesting, too, because Todd Blanche also responded to this report by saying the D.C. Bar is obviously blatantly a Democrat-run political organization. By the way, Todd Blanche was, just a little while back, was a registered Democrat, so keep that also in your mind when you're reading this. Then he goes on to say that, thank God I'm not a member, and trust me, I never will be. Yeah. Because we saw what they did to Rudy Giuliani, to now Ed Martin, and what they're continuing to do to my good buddy Jeff Clark, who, by the way, is no longer working in the White House. It's one of the many layers to all of this. It's the lawfare. It's never ending. And unfortunately, because people are going to keep going out there, guess what? They're going to keep going out there and going after these lawyers. They want to scare lawyers from going forward and representing the President of the United States. They don't want you to be emboldened to go out there and to follow the Constitution, to go out there and do what is right. And so that's why they're targeting these people. All right, John Solomon is detailing one of his latest reports. And this is, I always tell you guys, John Solomon, he's got some great sources over at the FBI. In clip 11, you're going to hear from Solomon detailing how FBI employees were the ones to actually warn Cash Patel and tell Cash Patel about the lawfare that was utilized against him. Take a listen to clip 11.
How did Cash find him?
Whistleblowers in most cases. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whistleblower agents coming up saying, hey, boss, you don't know this, but when you weren't our boss, we were looking at your phone records. And I think some of these whistleblowers went to Congress, like to Chuck Grassley, Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman. Some came to Cash Patel. And he has some senior executives. Some of his top executives around him now were aware of these things. And so they're helping him find these things in these hidden files that are called prohibited access files. So it's taken 13, 14 months for the current director to find what's in his own agency.
You know, this is a dumb question, John. Maybe you can help me out here. So FBI has all these investigations going on. Don't they have to report to Congress at all?
No, I don't. I remember all the times that Chuck Grassley said I had oversight letters and no one ever answered me. The first FBI director to really start turning over this information is Cash Patel. He made that promise. He lived up to it. But even he didn't know, like, until just a few weeks ago, he had never heard of Round River. Just think about that. A sensitive investigation involving Hunter Biden and President Trump and the Ukraine scandal. And the FBI director doesn't learn about it. Almost his first year in office is over. That's the sort of secrecy that these investigations have. So Congress, they were in the dark for a long time.
You know, Cash found it. Remember, he found a closet that was locked with a bunch of information a couple of months ago. I mean, there's got to be a lot more, right? There must be so much
there's
more.
Been a few.
And by the way, along those lines, tell us about that. But also, Cash has vowed to close the Hoover Building in D.C. Tell us where that stands as well.
Well, they're in the process of moving to the Reagan Building. There's a transition. Congress has to do some appropriations, which will be in the 27 budget year. But the plans are pretty well made. The decision's been made. Some offices have already been moved over to the Reagan Building, but not the full transition. I think we're about 18 months away, if I remember correctly, from the last budget documents I saw. Now, where were these investigations? They weren't all based in Washington. Round River was based in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So some of these were predicated in places far from the Washington, D.C. Capitol, yet they were run by leadership in Washington. So there may be SCIFs in Pennsylvania or California that we don't know about.
There might be. It's interesting, I guess, but what else is going to be done about this? Nothing. I mean, you need the DOJ to comply and to go after these individuals who participated in all of this. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like they're going to do any of that. So we won't turn that into rage bait for all of you at home. I want to go to clip 12 next because this is Chuck Schumer talking about the Save America Act. And it's always so funny to listen to Chuck because he's continuously pushing lies about all of this. And it's lies and unfortunately his ignorant voter base are probably going to be eating up. Take a listen.
Yes, but their bill isn't voter ID number one. It is about voter registration. It makes it, it allows ICE to kick tens of billions of people off the rolls, and they don't tell them until election day, and you show up and you say, you're not registered anymore. You're not registered here. You're not on the rolls.
Yeah, you know why they wouldn't be on those rolls, Chuck Schumer? And there's a reason why he said the word people. I keep pointing this out. Because they're not American citizens. They're not American citizens. You want to talk about purging people off the rolls? Yeah, we're purging those who are not U.S. citizens. No American will be affected by this. It will be non-U.S. citizens affected by this. And again, they keep using the word people because people isn't Americans. And many in their base won't understand that. It's not a mistake that all the Democrats now are saying people rather than Americans. We want people to have health care in this country. We don't want people taken off the voter rolls. They're not American citizens. They're openly advocating for the illegal invaders who have come into this country. By the way, they brought them in. Not only did they come in through our border, but they actually put out charter flights to bring them on in to this country, shift them all around the country to change the demographics in this country. Why? Well, because obviously elections. Elections. People can't read. People can't write. People don't have an education. They brought them in by the millions, and it was intentional because those people can't, well, they can't feed themselves. They need the system. They need to be leeches to the system. And so it's all about increasing the welfare state of this country, that those individuals need Democrats, and they will continue to vote for them. Again, it's advocacy for illegals to weigh in our elections. And if they don't get the direct vote, well, we'll just alter the censor. We'll just make sure that when the census goes out, that these people are tossed into that. And so we have more House seats for these illegal invaders. And bam, we'll take them away from red states. Genius. It's genius. If you hate this country. But that's the plan. And it's not even just to listen to their own words and you see it. You see right through it. This isn't even debatable. They tell you what they're doing. All right, TMZ put out a story. And by the way, TMZ is owned by Fox Corp. I was privately texting people about this yesterday because I don't think people realize that. They were purchased, I think, maybe 2 years ago. But TMZ is claiming that the Department of War, they wrote DOD, but it's not DOD, it's the Department of War, that Pete Hegseth apparently needed to spend to keep their current funding moving forward. So he apparently signed off, and this is what they're detailing, on $6.9 million in lobster tail, $2 million for Alaskan king crab, over $15 million for ribeye steaks, $1 million for salmon, $140,000 for donuts. I don't, shouldn't be eating those. And he also allegedly spent $124,000 on ice cream machines. Now, I did ask, and I did give them a new deadline, so you have to follow me on X. If they do respond, I'll post it there. I did ask the Pentagon, though, specifically, if they could put this into context a little bit for us. We can understand where these numbers are coming from and what they specifically refer to in all of this. Because obviously, you know, I'm a carnivore, and I do love me a good ribeye steak. But $15 million, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And where are you getting, is that Japanese Wagyu? I mean, $15 million is a lot of cash to throw at this. But almost $7 million in lobster tail? I don't know. I think the way that we feed our military, we give them crappy food. My dad's always talking about it when he served in Vietnam, the crap they gave him. But he was not ungrateful. He was just grateful for our meal. And so there you go. We got him. I don't think Pete Hegseth is going to go anywhere near those $140,000 in donuts either. And I don't think he wants his service members doing that either. I mean, this is the guy who's pushing for everyone to get in shape and to stop being a bunch of fat asses. So I don't see him touching that. But the $124,000 apparently spent on ice cream machines. I said it before. I want to know where those ice cream machines are. As many of you know, I'm a Pentagon reporter. And so I'm going to have to do some investigative work into all of this. I look forward to doing just that. Maybe in 3 weeks. Head on over to D.C. Search for the ribeyes. Search for the lobster tail. They've got to have it somewhere. I mean, that's freezer. You got to freeze, though. That's a lot of meat. But most importantly, you know, when I worked in Major League Baseball, I was assigned to go to I covered the World Baseball Classic. This was years ago, probably 10 years now. And covering in Miami was my favorite thing. Why? I love doing the Marlins games. And I love being at their park. Because the media room, not only did it have unlimited popcorn, and by far it was the best popcorn I've ever had, but most importantly, they had an ice cream machine. And it's probably the reason why I gained a ton of weight. But I was at that ice cream machine every day for the World Baseball Classic. And it was great ice cream. So hopefully it's not at the Pentagon, those ice cream machines, because if I get a hold of those ice cream machines, it's definitely going to be an issue. But no, folks, I'm going to dig into this to see what they're really spending this money. Again, it comes from TMZ. They were the ones pushing a lot of nonsense. So I just want to make sure before we go out there and just totally bash these agencies that it's 100% real. All right, let's get to this story as well. If you're a veteran, you're going to want to know about this one. There's a report out right now, and it says that the Department of Veteran Affairs plans to launch an AI-powered fraud detection system for fiscal year 2026. It's going to scan more than a million disabled benefits in their questionnaires that were submitted since 2010. This is all according to their report. Now they're looking for those who maybe fabricated certain things. They've got key pieces of language that they believe might be fabricated that they're going to be searching through. And they're going to find, if any of our veterans decided to maybe take an extra couple of dollars, they're going to find you. They're going to find you. They'll go after them extensively, but we still don't know who's going to be leading that division at the DOJ that's specifically supposed to look into the fraud. You know, the foreigners who are stealing millions and millions and billions of dollars from you. Let's go after the vets. Maybe if you're lying about PTSD, we'll give you PTSD. It'll just be lawfare PTSD when we decide to go after you for maybe misleading us on a questionnaire. And we'll yank your benefits. You might get prison time too. So we hope this isn't true. But again, they are still using AI to legally scan your bank records to figure out over the IRS. Did you not claim that $601? Well, we're going to toss you in prison. That's where we are as a country right now. They're using AI, weaponizing against the American people, and they're going to go after our vets. Stupidity is out of control in this country right now. All right, folks, we're going to be taking your calls in just a moment. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. Again, 877-789-2539 if you want to talk about any of these stories, especially veterans, if you want to sound off on possibly, you know, AI being utilized to target you and your disabled benefits. That's a big one. That is a massive, massive one. So join the wait list if you guys would like to call. We'll be taking those calls literally in 5 minutes. All right, folks, in the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's the March Mega Sale going on right now, up to 40% off your favorite supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or, you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, You become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in, so you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexandersquare.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexandersquare.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexandersquare.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Welcome back, the American Journal. Excited you're all here. Third hour program getting ready to launch in just a moment. It's a lot going on. If you want to join the call list, make sure you jump on those lines right now. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We'll be taking your calls in a second. I wanted to play this clip for you. This actually happened prior to the primary, but I think it's really, really important because the lieutenant governor in Texas, Dan Patrick, is actually calling out Wesley Hunt. I totally missed this one, but it's really, really important because Wesley Hunt threw his hat into that race for the U.S. Senate. It never made any sense to me. And I'll give you my opinion in a second. We'll play this clip. But it didn't make any sense to me as to why he threw his hat into the race. And it was late. But again, it didn't make sense because, well, Wesley Hunt never really was a serious candidate for the position. I want to take a listen to clip 15 and the criticism he had to, well, the criticism that Dan Patrick threw his way. Take a listen.
Wesley just cost the Republican Party millions and millions of dollars because you were talking about money. The Texas race that we're talking about, Paxton and Corn, the most expensive in the history of the U.S. Senate in the country. And when Wesley got in it, the third person, he guaranteed a runoff because he's going to get, you know, 12, 14, 18, 20% of the vote. And so, you know, there are a lot of people in Texas not happy that he got in the race late and forces a runoff. Otherwise, it would be over tonight. And instead, you're going to have three more months of campaigning, a lot of negative campaigning going both ways. And that's not healthy for the party. So I'm not sure why Wesley got in, but it's going to cost everyone a lot of money. And so maybe someone gets to 50%. It depends. You know, if he's real low, if he doesn't get over 10 or 12, then Paxton or Cornyn could get to 50. And Ken's been leading the entire time in this race. But I'm not sure how much the gap is going to be between them. I think Ken will have a somewhat of a lead, but it will be a runoff, it looks like.
Yeah, let's jump in on that because that's really interesting, right? Because I never understood why Wesley Hunt jumped in this race. The numbers were never favorable towards him. And to be honest with you, if you're in Texas, I don't think most Texans even know anything about Wesley Hunt. And even after that primary, we still don't know much about him. But he threw his hat in the race. And I think it was in favor to John Cornyn. Now, whether or not someone maybe said, we'll give you a bunch of money in donations through your campaign, you could take that campaign fund wherever you want to go afterwards. That could possibly be it. Maybe it was a way for Wesley Hunt to step up his profile and put it on a national level because obviously this is going to be a very heated primary. It could be that option as well, but it's quite obvious that Wesley Hunt was the one who really took this away from Ken Paxton. Most importantly, when it comes to those in the Senate, those Republicans in the Senate, I mean, they threw a lot of cash to keep Cornyn in his seat. In fact, roughly, I believe it was like $70 million was thrown that way. Altogether, he spent $100 million just to make it into the runoff race. So he did Wesley Hunt did Cornyn a massive favor by entering into the race. And again, no one actually understood why he was doing just that. He wasn't even really like a candidate that anyone was able to understand and to listen to. It never made any sense. So based on what we see playing out now and how they tried their very best to protect John Cornyn, they still are to this day. I mean, John Thune's going out there advocating for him. I could probably tell you there was a reason for Wesley Hunt getting into this race, and it probably had nothing to do with his ambition to possibly be a U.S. senator. I don't think there was ever a piece of data that ever pointed to him having a legitimate shot at becoming a U.S. senator. All right, folks, I told you before, but we just launched the iodine. It just launched over at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're a VIP member, well, you get an incredible discount. We love and appreciate your support. It's 50% off for our VIP members. And that's our way of saying thank you for supporting us on this mission to get the truth out there over at thealexjonesstore.com. We're grateful for your support. And again, if you're not a VIP member, we are very grateful. So we're going to extend a 25% off discount to you as well. But why aren't you a VIP member? Why aren't you a VIP member? The discounts are incredible. And it's only the kind of quality you can get over at thealexjonesstore.com. So head on over there right now and try out the iodine. I could highly recommend it. It's going to be a great one that you're going to want to try out. Also, it ends tomorrow, or no, it ends Friday. But we've got those America 250 shirts. Those are up right now. It's the limited edition shirts. It's on sale. That's a 60% off. It's $14.99 right now. So head on over to the shop, thealexjonesstore.com, and grab that. And again, just to kind of throw more discounts your way, it is the March Mega Sale, which means it's up to 40% off on some of your favorite supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
In to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're going to start diving into calls in just a few moments. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. That's 877-789-2539 is the number to call if you want to jump on those lines. And again, we're going to be talking about the stories we've covered thus far. You know, I kind of missed it this morning, but President Trump was going after Congressman Thomas Massie pretty hard on Truth Social. And again, it's the same thing. He's just trying to call Massie a rhino. Massie, I don't know why he goes so hard on Massie. Massie's not the one in the Senate who's holding up his agenda. First, him as the worst. Congressman Thomas Massie isn't the one who's holding up his agenda. Those are the folks over in the Senate. How about you get a little gutsy with them, Mr. President? Go swing at them. Thomas Massie's a man who has sided with President Trump on a lot of key issues over and over again. So it's quite strange to continuously seeing him going after Massie. It's a little bit of an obsession at this point. But he's not happy with the congressman from Kentucky. And Massie has to fight now to keep his seat. Again, I love Thomas Massie. I think he's one of the best congressmen that we have right now. And he takes a lot of heat. He does. Now, again, are there going to be things I disagree with him? Of course. You could say you disagree with someone on one or two things. Doesn't mean that you just toss him out as a person. That's exactly what he does. And again, it's not just Congressman Thomas Massie that he's also talking junk about. It's also the former Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. Again, I don't know why he does this. I think it's tacky. I'm sure his wife would tell him the same. Calls her traitor is her nickname. She was never a traitor. She's been the same MTG since day one. But again, this is where we are. You also remember, Greene turns to brown under stress. I don't, like, come on, dude. And then Massie's also calling out the person who President Trump is backing. Ed Gullren is the person who he's backing. And Massie's like, hey, take a look at his voter registration, dude. He's not a Trumper. But I think his hatred towards Massie is just, it overwhelms the president a bit. And he very passionately wrote this, like, long endorsement of him. I don't know. I don't see Kentucky turning away from Congressman Massie. Massey's been pretty damn good on a lot. Also, Massie's not trying to kill us with chemicals being placed in our food. So that's usually a pretty big win for me. All right, let's get to those lines again. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. We'll be taking calls throughout this hour. First one on the call list. I don't know how he does it. Hey, Savage Dog, you're always the first one up, usually, I have to say. Give us some tips. How do you call in so quickly?
Man, I got magic fingers. I've been doing this since like 2005. I've called into, I actually got through to Rush one time.
How'd that go?
Yeah. Talked to, Sean Hannity probably 30 times. Mm. And then, what was his name? Alan Combs. You remember that douchebag?
No, I actually don't.
Hannity and Combs on Fox News?
No.
Looks like the Crypt Keeper. Yeah, he was the liberal side. Yeah, he had his own radio show, and it was like autopilot to dial in. I got through to him and just trolled him relentlessly. So I'm kind of a pro at calling.
I like it. I like it. No, this is a skill.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, be ready. Be ready, auto dial. You put so much on my plate that the downside to calling in early is that you talk about other things. I'm like, ooh that. I'm like, man, come on. So I'm just going to dump everything and just tell you. I got a 3-pound freaking roast sitting on top of a bed of red potatoes, baby carrots, red onions, and mushrooms sitting in the crock pot ready to eat tonight. Do you have a dollar store, Dollar Tree near you?
I'm sure we do. I think those are everywhere, so probably. Definitely up in Dallas.
Okay, well, go to Dollar Tree. Look for Kingsford brand garlic and herb seasoning. Mm-hmm. Holy God, it's amazing. It's done. You know, I put it on chicken breast, steak. I put it on the roast and taters in there. That's just a cooking tip.
I love it.
All right, now what I'm calling in for. Well, actually, I got one small thing. I don't care if Paxton or Cornyn wins the primary runoff. I don't care. Mm-hmm. You Texans, if it's Cornyn, hold your nose, go in droves and vote for him to Tallarico. That Satan imp, false prophet, false preacher, mm-hmm. does not get in. You cannot allow that. I don't care who, Homer Simpson, yeah. You know, vote for him before Tallarico. Just please, you know, again, a way too early thing, but keep it in your mind. You got to keep Tallarico out.
Yeah.
So my point of my call. All right. Now, it bothered me that the FBI put out this deal the other day. We got. We intercepted a message to all the sleeper cells to activate. Why would they do that? I don't get it. It's never been done. And the only thing that's going to happen is that it's going to tell the lone wolf people, oh, my God, my brothers and sisters in Allah are going to do it. I need to go out, too. And that's all we've seen so far is lone wolf assholes. And my theory is that they're doing this to trigger some lone wolves. And I never thought I'd see this out of the right side. You see the compilations all the time from the left, you know, with turns from 1 to 2 to 4 to 8 to 16, 32, and on and on and on of news outlets everywhere, local and national, saying the exact same script when they did it our side did it the other day with a short-term pain, long-term gain. And I thought, well, wow, okay, our side's doing it too. Well, maybe the FBI is putting out this false narrative of the sleeper cells got the go signal mm-hmm. in order to put political pressure on the Dems to actually fully fund the DHS.
Yeah, I'd say that's likely. I think so. Cause it sounded like the other sound bites I was going over today. It sounds exactly like that's the case. I would have thought as soon as we launched these attacks over a week ago that would have been the case. The sleeper cells, if they were here in the country, would have been activated though. Savage Dog, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, I don't get it.
Yeah.
maybe they're told to stand down. Maybe the signal was a stand down order, but they're still going to blast it out and make some lone wolves go out there and throw some failed ass smoke grenades in New York. And to put political pressure on, like I said, that fund DHS. I don't know. That's just me looking at things.
Yeah. No, I think you're right about that. I think you are. We'll see how it all, I don't want to see how it all plays out because that's kind of scary, but, this is what the government does. And I don't think they actually know where these people are. I think it's probably the intercept. I don't think they know where they all are. The border obviously was very unsecure. We know that the northern border too, I don't think people realize it. I try talking about this as often as I can. That was the big one. There were thousands of known terrorists brought into this country through the northern border. And so that's a big one. Canada's not helping us. And I think that was the reason why President Trump, because he doesn't want to fearmonger, but I think that was the reason why President Trump was going after Canada so aggressively in regards to tariffs, was because they're not guarding it. They're not even working with DHS. They refuse to work with our national security at all when it comes to securing that border. So really no surprise there. Savage Dog, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it as always. Let's get to our next caller. Clown Car is next up. Clown Car, welcome back.
Brigade, hello?
Yes, hi, how are you?
Oh, very well. Brigade Base Commander Brianna, it's a salute from Clown Car, but I wanted to bring up the reinstatement of the female draft. I sent one of the producers there, I sent him a copy of it back in 2021, I believe. It was revamped that women as young as 17 could be reinstated. And also, if you notice the price of cattle, I know you just said you're a huge carnivore, love to eat steak, but there's going to be a food shortage coming between the weather and everything that's been happening. Agriculturally, our country is in deep trouble. The price of cattle shows that. And kind of proves the fact that things that used to go for 100 to 400 are now 2,500 to 3,000. And I just checked and it's upwards to 10,000. I've been trying to scream about this for the past couple of weeks now, but the thing with the cattle kind of reinstated the draft for the cattle. But, never eat at a Dollar Tree. That stuff is not, fit for human consumption.
Well, Clown Car, Clown Car, I want to push back a little bit, right? Because I remember if I go back in my way back machine, that's my head. I think you called in back in December and told us, or maybe it was November, and told us that there was going to be a horrific winter. I think it was mid-December that a bunch of Americans, thousands of Americans were to die from it. That didn't happen. I don't think it happened, Clown Car. Where do you get your details from?
Thousands of people died during this past storm.
I didn't see.
How about 17 alone in New York? Okay, and those were
homeless people. Yeah, those were homeless people because it was Zoe Ramazzani.
How do we know how many homeless people there are?
Yeah,
they're probably. Hey, listen.
That's bad leadership.
The storm happened. Not only did it happen, but it happened on the same day I said a month later. And I said that 3A Atlas is coming back, and now they're talking about it coming back once in a lifetime. Tens of thousands of years before it happens again, and it's turned around by Jupiter and it's headed back towards Earth. Some of these things, it's from NASA, so who do you believe? I believe when I see the Department of Defense get involved and there are conversations about, Space Force being used and if Space Force is, activated and ready to protect the galactic force of America, I guess, or the Earth. I mean, how is that going to work? That's why we're going to have to become one world, one currency, one religion, is so that we could fight this other entity. That's kind of the other flip I was thinking.
Interesting. Well, thank you, Cloud Car. We appreciate you calling in, as you always do. Thank you for that. All right, let's get to Godzilla in Wisconsin. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Brianna. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I wanted to talk about the Iran war and Zora Ranch real quick. Mm-hmm. I know it's an unpopular opinion now, and I understand America is sick of the war, but I'm pro-Iran war to the point, strap me to a hydrogen bomb, an atomic bomb, and drop me on Tehran, preferably airburst.
Wait, if you're going to do that, hold on. You got to take Lindsey Graham with you. That's the only way we're allowing this to go.
He can come with, too. We can hold hands. I bet he'd like that. But, I know it's kind of extreme to say, and I'm not going to say the standard arguments like, oh, if they were in our shoes, our power position, they'd do the same thing, or all the China geopolitics stuff. For me, the reason I would do it, not only to light the future, be like a torch for the people following behind me, but if you want to understand it, Brianna, just look in the mirror and you'll understand it perfectly, because there has been no more tyrannical and horrible empire than the Islamic caliphate spreading around the world towards women. And I'm a hopeless romantic. And what they've done, not only with the burqas, but they treat them like property. Mm-hmm. There's the child brides. There was the hundreds and hundreds of times they came into Europe, kidnapped people. People complain about Epstein. The empire there is a million Epsteins, you know. So if they don't surrender, I'm all about them going all the way. You know, they had a 900,000 standing army. It's been pretty much decimated. The Navy's gone. Air Force is gone. Army's gone. Leadership is gone. What more remains besides an insurgency? The people in Iran need to come to modernity, and it's a signal to all the other Islamic people that have been saying Christians are wimps and like Sneeko or whoever you want to say that we're not going to do anything. Well, look at Iran now, you know, and if you keep pushing the Christians, the nice and Jesus believing Christians so far, we're nice until we're not. Mm. And then you get to see the other side of the blade. It's a two-sided blade. You know, we can be nice, but then also on the other side, we can be not so nice. And like you're seeing that now with Trump. And everyone talked about Trump having small hands. I think it's clear now he doesn't have small hands. But he's pretty bold and gutsy for going this far. And I applaud him for it, because this is historical. This is into the history books. You know, not only the scope of devastation, but how devastating. And I think it was smart for letting Iran's military deteriorate for 20 years before hitting him. They've been planning, him and Bibi, the U.S. government and Bibi, planning to do this for a long, long time. But anyway, the other thing I wanted to talk about was the Epstein, Zora Rand stuff. Mm-hmm. And Weinstein, not that Weinstein, a different Professor Weinstein from Harvard has also talked about it, that it's one of the angles with the cloning laboratory they had there and splicing DNA. One of the angles they haven't discussed yet is, I think, and Weinstein is talking about it too, that they were splicing alien and Nephilim DNA with humans, which is pretty crazy and wild stuff. Yeah. You know, Epstein talked about it, and it was like a thing they've always been trying to do that. And it relates also, because I'm concerned they'd roll these alien hybrids out or whatever to do Project Bluebeam, which Alex Jones has talked about. You know, like you could imagine some creatures that look like monsters appeared in New York and some military advanced aircraft people would scream, you know, that they're aliens, you know, where it could just be totally manufactured. You know, and maybe aliens are real and maybe they do come down, you know, but we have to thoroughly investigate to make sure it's not another false flag. Lastly, regarding false flags, back to this Iran conflict, I'm concerned about the U.S. and Israel doing false flags with the drones. You know, we have these drones that are similar to the Shahed Iranian drone, and they're unmarked. They have unmarked parts. It's very, very ripe for false flag, which is concerning. And then lastly, I know it's a lot, but I had a lot on my list here. Lastly, I think Trump should recommission the old battleships that we have sitting on as museum pieces and send them to the Strait of Hormuz. It wouldn't be that hard to refit them. They can get towed. They have 16-inch diameter guns, and they can be loaded with a shell called the Beehive Shell, which shoots a bunch of shrapnel in the air, doing a 200-meter cone of fire and shrapnel. And when you see these missile barrages or drone swarms coming in, one of these shells can knock it out. And the best part is, according to the World War II numbers, they're only about $1,000 a pop compared to these million-dollar multi-million-dollar interceptor, or the CRAM when it fires once is about $8,000. Kind of a lot to dump on you there. But, you know, I blame girls like you for being so beautiful and so nice.
Aw, thank
and getting, getting attacked like how you were attacked when you were running for my feelings towards Islam. And I just want, I don't hate them. I just want them to come into modernity. Same with the Jewish people, and let's just all go peacefully into the future. Otherwise, I think it's going to be the apocalypse.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Godzilla, for calling into the show. We appreciate it. Now, I mean, listen, I mean, how the Iranian regime has treated their women is obviously something that we all could agree with is horrific. And, you know, we hope that, that one day that we'll be freed. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, you did a pretty good job of going through all of that. So I'll leave it untouched for now. Godzilla, thank you for calling into the show. We greatly appreciate it. Robbie in Florida, welcome to the show.
Hello, Brianna. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing, Robbie?
I'm doing good. First, I want to thank your supplement staff, and I also want to thank your entire staff for everything that you are doing for this great country of ours. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Robbie.
And your supplements are fantastic. As a matter of fact, I just got the creatine and the Shilajit Complex yesterday delivered to us. So I want to thank you for that also.
I love that. Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, let us know what you think. Is it your first time trying it?
No, I've been taking the supplements for almost 3 years now.
And you like it. That's good to hear.
Absolutely. And my 94-year-old mom takes the Shilajit as well, and she loves it.
How does it work for her? Did she describe what the benefits are for her personally?
Well, she has been going through some cognitive issues, but it seems like the Shilajit is working the best for her as far as her memory and her thinking.
Mm. I like it. This is good to hear. Good to hear. Robbie, I know you wanted to dive into Iran and Epstein, so I'll let you take it away from here. We've got about 3 minutes left.
Okay, let's go into Iran first. And I understand that everybody has different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing that we really have to focus on, Brianna, is that we cannot become divided as Americans.
Mm-hmm.
I've been seeing a lot of negative attitude out in the field because I belong to a private organization here in Florida, and we fight every day for our country and our state. Right now, we are having a lot of headbutting going on with different opinions between RINOs, constituents, et cetera. My whole thing is right now on this issue is that, and I hope everybody's listening, including the White House, we have to focus on staying together because I'm seeing a lot of people becoming divided, and that is weakness to our nation, and that is not a very wise route to go. So I'm asking everybody to just try and stay together. Donald Trump is probably the best thing that has ever happened to the United States in decades. And we have to remember that. I know we had different opinions, but we have to focus on one thing. Would you rather have Kamala Monster in there? Or would you rather have Creepy Sleepy Joe in there as president as we speak? Hell no. So we're just going to have to go and bite our tongues once in a while and make sure that we put our opinions out there for Donald Trump to see. But as a nation, we have to stick together because the midterms are coming up. And if we become more divided, Brianna, it's not going to be good for the midterms. So I just wanted to put that point across, and I hope that everybody agrees with me that is listening on your show right now.
Well, Robbie, I like it. I like it because it's positive. And I think it's quite interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of Americans are disappointed, and I'm sure you get that, Robbie. This administration so far, with what we've seen play out, not what they promised on the campaign tour. But here we are. Robbie, I like a little bit of a positive message, so I'll leave it up to that. Thank you, Robbie, in Florida, for calling into the show. Folks, if you're on hold right now, stay put. Don't go anywhere. We'll be diving into more callers in just a moment. We're working our way down the list, and we appreciate you calling in. In the meantime, though, you got to head on over to thealkjonesstore.com. We just launched iodine, and it is now available officially over at thealkjonesstore.com. 50% off for your VIP members. We appreciate you supporting us. We're going to pass that on to you. in the form of a discount, 50% off for VIP members. For everyone else, it is 25% off right now over at thealexjonesstore.com.
CIA declassified documents last week. Operation Artichoke to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where they put it in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, I've been on this in 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theelvisjonesstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theelvisjonesstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, theelvisjonesstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue. And iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back, folks. All right, we're diving into the calls in just a second. I wanted to get to this because this is big news for those of you paying attention in Fulton County. A judge just has allowed the Trump team as well as his co-defendants to pursue $17 million in legal fees against Fannie Willis. As many of you guys know, it was all a cooked up case. We're trying their very best to stop the president from going out there and running. And I mean, these poor defendants, these co-defendants, 18 of them stacked up roughly, there's 14 claims, so this is 14 of them, $17 million in legal fees, roughly, approximately to that, 16.85. So as many of you guys know, that's pretty freaking insane. And they're looking for Georgia, because according to the Georgia law, they are also supposed to get reimbursed for that. So we'll keep following that, because that is crazy. President Trump alone is requesting over $6.2 million. Hopefully they get it. Would be fair. Jeff Clark, who's someone obviously you guys know, I'm good friends with. Jeff Clark was arrested in all of that, and he's someone who has had to put his whole life savings out there, and it's just devastating. So, yeah, they absolutely should. I want to also get your attention to this story. This one was actually dropped in the Blaze. It has to do with a former Metro Police Department officer who was honored for his actions taking place on January 6, 2021. Timothy Valentine is his name. Well, get this. He's recently just been charged with drugging and sexually assaulting six women who he apparently met on dating apps. Now, the allegations he's currently facing suggest that he was possibly drugging these victims through their drinks and then taking them back home and raping them. Again, he's hit with 32 criminal counts across six victims. There could possibly be more victims that they just don't know about. But he apparently left the MPD back in 2022 and has never really had a major, we'll just say major offense against him. So they honored him, of course. That's what you do. That's what they do. All right, folks, let's get to the lines again. Let's start dropping on these calls. I see a lot of you have a lot to sound off on. So Duke in OKC, welcome to the program.
Hello, Brianna.
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. I just hate to be the negative guy that always calls in about how bad things are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's just all over the board. Trump's not arrested anybody. I mean, we're not doing mass deportations. He's putting Mark Wayne Mullins in. He has done nothing for the state of Oklahoma to get rid of the illegals that have taken over the job sector in the state. You know, I just feel like I'm always calling in about the negative because that's all I see is the negative. I don't see America First agenda being pushed forward at all. I mean, I know Trump's done some good things, but we're overwhelmed with the bad that's happening to our own citizens, our own people, and nothing's being done about that. I mean, he hasn't arrested anybody. You know, that right there's a red flag for me. He had the show The Apprentice, and I remember watching The Apprentice, and I never really liked him. I saw how he treated people that were, you know, he had them fighting for who could bring in the most money for a business, you know, something like that. Yeah, he's a businessman. He's all about the money. And that's kind of what it seems like is the whole government is run on this perception of money, and it doesn't have anything to do with the people. We, the people, we're not included in this game or whatever this program is that has been set up in this country. So I'm the negative guy. I just see all the bad first. You know, you always look at the danger. I do things like tree work and stuff like that. So I have to look at all the dangers first before I do something. That way I don't get myself killed or hurt or you know, destroy somebody's home. So, you know, I feel like I'm the negative today.
No, I mean, listen, I don't have a defense. I can't even try to argue against it, Duke. So, yeah, I mean, you're spot on. I do it every day. I tell you all that there's no criminal charges pending against any of these scumbags who decided to, you know, steal our elections, use auto pen. Like, there's just a long, laundry list of places we could go with all of this. And yeah, I've got nothing for you. I've got nothing positive to say about what's going on right now. I try, I search. Every now and then I'll find a little MAGA win and I throw it out there because I want everyone to be really happy and I want everyone to be really excited about something. You know, obviously the investments that are being made here in the country by private companies reinvesting because the Trump administration's been good at that. I'll say that's a good one. I put up another one yesterday. There's some good, but there's a lot of negative things that the American people want to be, they want that addressed, and that's quite fair, I think. Thanks for calling into the show. We greatly appreciate it. Of course, Josh in North Carolina. Here you want to talk about the Save America Act. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good day, good day. Good calls, too. Savage Dog, it's always great to hear him. He's a beast.
Yeah, he is. He is. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Big things on my mind. I mean, Alex Jones has been picking on himself here lately, but honestly, I want to see him triple down. There was a Rescue the Republic rally, and I had every intention. My girl, she's very liberal, set to bring it all. They go right ahead. She understood the Maha movement. But it wasn't for that Hurricane Helene getting stuck in the mouth I was going to be there. Now, the thing I'm seeing with all this, we all are calling in and saying, hey, we need to get out there and do stuff. Yourself have a much bigger platform than I could ever manage. Your whole show and everybody, all the people you know, every connection you have. Please, someone do a rally. And unfortunately, the working class that would love to go to these things are working. So it's hard for us. The only time we really can go is around 4th of July when we get paid leave. Like, that is, other than that, like, I'm working. I would love to go to these things and show what I feel, voice my opinion. But luckily, your show gives us that. Also, Massey 2028. I don't know if you thought about it, but that's going. I don't know. I see people joking about it. I see people joking. Yeah, I'll just leave it on that. And also, help me aggravate Tom Phillips. Tom Phillips in North Carolina who won't say nothing about the Save America Act. We need to pass that. And if it's not passed by 45, I'm going up there with a bullhorn. I don't care if I'm outside the White House. No, we got him in office. And I love Trump. He is the best that we've had in decades. I mean, I graduated unearned, so I was kind of screwed up from the get-go. Thanks, Obama. But Trump is the man, but we do not have that. We do not have nothing. The blanket that is our Constitution will be yanked off us and we will snap away. That is what they're hoping. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I ain't got time to organize a whole rally. That's the only problem these days, Josh. I wish I had some more time. There's not enough time in the day to do that. But I highly recommend those to do it. I don't even have time to attend a rally. Got a lot of FOIA requests I need to get done. But no, I mean, it's a great plan for sure. So I'd highly recommend that. I don't understand. The Save America Act should have been a clear win. You know, I think Matt Boyle did a great job of kind of detailing that for us as to how John Cornyn could go out there and expose people that won't vote for this and how they don't have the numbers. I just put the names out there. Let's see the list. He knows, obviously, and so we should be able to look at that. So, Josh, yeah, I'm on board for that. I think that's a good idea. We'll see, though. We'll see. There's a lot going on these days. Josh, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. I want to get to, let's get to Chad in Minnesota. Chad, I hear you want to talk about someone who I would agree with you sucks. Jared Kushner, maybe?
Exactly. Yeah, you said it towards the top of the show earlier where, you know, he's back. And I thought we were told that he was not going to be anywhere near D.C. He wouldn't be advising. He wouldn't be part of this. What happened? I guess that's just a big fat lie.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you got to let the money pour in at this point, Chad. You got to take it when you can, I guess. I don't even know. I mean, you know, he's an ally of Israel, obviously, and that's fine. But, you know, now he's pushing this. We got to rebuild Gaza nonsense, and we need billions of dollars in investments. Not a fan of that. But, yeah, no, I think it's kind of crazy. I think it's kind of crazy that we're going to sit here and pretend like this is, this is what we all voted for. I didn't vote for this.
Yeah, I mean, it just screams establishment, what you just said. Money, 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 making a small amount of individuals, a lot of money. And I just called to go over the brief history of Jared Kushner. I don't know if you're familiar or read into what he did with Operation Warp Speed and how much he had to do with it. Have you ever looked into any of that?
Not Warp Speed. No, I don't think I'll let you tell the story, but I don't think I've looked into the Warp Speed connection.
Well, I'll try to keep it real short. He was behind the mainly two things that stood out to me in all of my research that I've done, where I've found that he just, you know, I don't know if his intention was evil. I mean, you read stuff about him, you never know. I don't know the guy, so I can't say for sure. You know, it's hearsay, whatever it is. I don't believe he's a good person, but, you know, it's just based off of what I've read. But there's a big thing about there's two things. The vaccines, number one, where he actually asked Albert Bourla for the additional 100 million doses to be switched from other countries, and they had the argument and then eventually went through. So we can thank Jared Kushner for the extra 100 million doses of vaccines that, or what were called vaccines, shots, and thank him that, oh, thanks for giving us that, because we needed that over other modalities that were being proven that were effective by doctors that were being scrutinized. They were being, you know, put under the bus. Like, there's, I mean, you know, you could go on and on and on, and it was just all very geared towards pharmaceutical. And he's also behind hiring the, you know, one of the main guys with Operation Warp Speed, the Slowey, the gentleman that came from GlaxoSmithKline. So, okay, he recruited him. He was part of it, him and Alex Azar. And then ventilators. He pushed the ventilators, and the history of ventilators with COVID-19 was ass backwards. I mean, that proved to not be what a remedy or for COVID-19. I mean, it messed with CRP, the C-reactive proteins. You know, that messes with your liver. They could have done IV NAC, N-acetylcysteine, which was, if you just replaced it with the ventilator, it would be like, okay, this works. This is what you do. It increases blood. It moves it. You know, the problem with so-called COVID was oxidation. People were dealing with oxidation. So then you throw in oxygen through a ventilator, and you just make it 1,000 times worse. So my whole thing is, you know, and now we know the history of what's going on with the Iran war, which, again, I don't claim to try to know what's going on, because whatever information we're being fed they're not telling us, and they're not going to tell us everything, but it's like we get this, oh yeah, it's this, and it's this, and it's this, and then, oh, so-and-so's over here. And Lindsey Graham, I mean, he's gone full tard. That guy is like, I mean, that's detrimental to our country, what he's pulling. And he's been meeting, he met with, back in January, he met with the director of Mossad, David Bernal. He met with him. It's on his ex, oh yeah, hey. And then he joked, because somebody responded and said, hey, what is he doing with this guy? And he's like, oh, he's just buying. He just wants to look at buying a house in South Carolina. And jokingly, obviously, he was being a dink about it. It's just like, what is going on? I mean, we can't get any honesty from D.C. and get our stuff so we're on the same page. And then nobody has time for this. Like the previous caller said, we don't have time to be sitting here dabbling in what's true and what's not. And then the CIA comes out and says that, oh, we know that, oh, what's going on with cancer? It's like, we're getting nowhere to the American people. It's because of all the people. I'll summarize with this, and I apologize for ranting, but it's all the people that he's surrounded by. It's establishment. Do you think that Susie Wiles screams America first and just Americans? To me, it's watch Fox News and, you know, hey, just, you know. And then I don't know what kind of mind meld these individuals have with Trump, but somebody needs to get through to him. Yeah. I was surprised that Mark Mitchell did not when he came out. You watch his November, I think it was back in November. There's an intro where he explains what needs to be done, because obviously we can't get a third party. Mm-hmm. We can't get, you know, back to a republic. So we have to do something that changes and puts those two together. And then we just move on from this two party system. I'll leave it at that. Sorry for the rant. Thanks for taking the call.
No, listen, I get it. I get it. And you're not alone. You are not alone. It's just so frustrating to sit back and watch. But yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of like the theme these days. And the vast majority of the people calling in and want to talk about just that. It is frustrating to sit back and watch. Let's turn to our next caller. And by the way, Chad, thank you for calling in as always. Gabriel is next up on the lines. Welcome to the show from West Virginia.
Hello, Verena. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just, I just wanted to report something that was really concerning to me. And even though you recently misgendered me and thought you were going to get away with it, I'm still going to tell you anyway.
Mansplain. Let's hear it.
So, mansplain. So I, for the past 2 days, we were dealing with a massive problem with the computer system that we use nationwide to generate and render the routes and how many packages are on them. And when we deliver one, it falls off of this computer and we work through that, right? And so all of us had to spend an extra hour and a half doing things the old school way as opposed to using the tech. And when I asked, my boss looked at the system and he said, this is happening nationwide. They're not sure what's happening and we don't know when it's going to be corrected. And I thought to myself, well, look at the time and look at when this is occurring and look at the global type of thing that's going on. And here's why I wanted to report that. I watched a podcast with the Sean Ryan show where he talked to an AI specialist who mentioned where they can aggregate these bots and they can attack a system and group together until they find a weakness. Now, these are old school Windows operating systems that are all linked together with basic servers somewhere, God knows where, right? And so I personally think that there has been a test run to see if they can get fingers and access into that system. And the thing that's really concerning to me, and my wife doesn't seem to agree, and no one at work seems to see it, but these are how these preordained attacks kind of happen. If they're coming at our computer government system, they're probably going for the Pentagon, they're going for the FBI, they're going for the other services. But if they can break down our system, that's a big deal, right? And going after electricity and water is probably the next. And I wonder, why isn't this getting reported? Why don't people talk about this type of issue? Because I can tell you right now, we're under attack from any way, any fashion, in a coordinated effort with technologies that I don't think people comprehend the way that these artificial computers group together and can overwhelm a system. And so they're probably going to come after AT&T next, because I think that whole system of Warner Brothers, the HBO show trial, they own AT&T, BlackRock, like they're putting their fingers into these systems and they're looking for leaks, because the next big push is going to be like way more profound, hence the whole Ides of March. So I wasn't sure who to tell this to. I thought about calling my local newspaper. I tried to call yesterday and I ended up just getting on hold for forever and forever. But I thought there's probably people out there that might find it to be interesting. So I'll end it in this. I think this is important. Having a computer specialist on to talk about what type of computers to use, figuring out what type of technology we can put in our systems to protect them, changing all of our passwords, and just having a basic education on how we protect our data and our infrastructure. I very rarely see that being taught to the U.S. public. They don't talk to me about it. You know, I know guys in New Mexico that do nothing but work on IT, and they have some concerns too, where some of the big law firms are coming under attack, and then they have AI bots that give them alerts, and they can go in and like fill in the gaps and plug in the holes. And a lot of us don't know how these computers work right now, and no one's talking to us about it. And it's frankly really scary and concerning to me. So thanks for hearing me out. I felt like, well, let me let Jones know this and the Info Warriors know this so that we can come up with a preemptive game plan, because they're coming after our system. And I experienced it and have serious founded concerns about the situation right now. So thanks for hearing me out. That's what I wanted to say. And as always, I appreciate your candor. And your love for the country, and I have it too. And we're going to have to rally and kick ass, because the computers are—they're the next phase of warfare. Like, if they can shut all that down, it won't matter once they send in troops, because we won't be able to talk to one another. Our systems won't be up and running. Our veterans won't be getting our medication. All these people that work from their home that depend on all this Amazon—they're not going to get anything. It's just going to be really, really crazy. You know what I mean by that? I mean, it should concern everybody. I know it certainly does me. Way past the point of conspiracy theory. Like, I'm seeing it land right now in my personal life, you know? So there you have it, man. Do with that what you want. I mean, I don't like doing the fear-mongering, but it's enough for me to be concerned enough to sit on hold for an hour to put this bug in your ear. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I was going to ask you as a follow-up question, too, before we run out of time. When did this happen? By the way, this is the Postal Service, right? This isn't UPS or FedEx that you're referring to when you talk about the mail system.
Ma'am, no. I have to say, like, my views do not reflect the post office, you know, or they'll come after me. But this was the 9th and the 10th. So I had another carrier from another office. She uses this system, and she's like, what's going on, man? I'm like, well, it's a little glitchy here, but it always is because we're out in rural West Virginia, and so it's spotty to begin with. And if it was they told me it's nationwide. I mean, I look over and I think, oh, this has got to be some type of attack, right? But they're not just going to come right after us and knock our systems down. And then, like, they're going to do a full threshold press. And what I had in my ear was something like Alex put out when you had the German guy, like, we're going to come out for your something. It's going to be a computer attack. I mean, I'm not emulating them very well, that whatever douche. But they're doing it, and it's happening, and they're going to come after it. The systems that FedEx and UPS have, they're not interconnected nationwide into the main government hub that ours is. It's all the same thing, right? It's not like it's some profound system that they have built. It's usually the highest bidder that comes in and does that. And this just would be my educated guess. But, yeah, man, this is the post office that I'm talking about. So.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, we kind of figured that this was going to happen. I've been warning the audience with the cyber attacks that those were going to surge too. And I know a lot of companies will never tell you whether or not that they've been hacked or whether or not their information is being held hostage. We see it all the time. Obviously, they don't want these foreign countries knowing that they got into their systems. And so they don't put that information out there. But again, it's not just that too. We saw JetBlue. JetBlue randomly asked the FAA to just ground all of its flights. They didn't give an explanation as of yesterday. We didn't see an explanation. And, you know, after a couple of moments after that, then they did resume their flights. But again, it's like, why did that happen? We've been alerting the people to it. And I appreciate you calling in, Gary Burrell, and doing just that as well. So thank you for doing that. Yeah, I don't know. There's been a couple of other things. Obviously, Signal put out a statement too, saying there's some hype, but like phishing there's some phishing experts. Efforts. Sorry about that, folks. Bear with me, though. But, yeah, there's been a lot of those lately. So no surprise there. I think they blamed the Russians, though, for that. But there was no evidence that it was Russians. But it's the endless nonsense that goes on right now. Folks, by the way, I want to get to this clip. And for those who called in, I appreciate you. I'm sorry we're all out of time today. Thank you again. We'll take calls later throughout the week. So I hope you guys could get on the lines as well. I want to get to this clip because it just happened right now. A journalist did try to grill, or a journalist, I use the term loosely because it's MSNBC, tried to grill John Cornyn about his op-ed that was posted in the New York Post. Not a fan of it. Take a look.
You previously said that nuking the filibuster would be taking a wrecking ball to Senate rules. Is that no longer true?
I said I'd be open to reforms.
What would you say to those who say you just changed your mind to win the president's endorsement?
I'd say that's not true.
You also said that it's...
I think we're through. Go ahead. Go away.
Thank you.
We're through. Get out of here. How much you want to bet that was a ghostwriter that wrote his piece and not him, a staffer, maybe, possibly, to push him through all of this? Not a happy man. A lot of people who know him say that he's a miserable person. I'd say that's probably accurate. I mean, if you had to do all the deep state's sloppy work, you'd probably be a pretty miserable person as well. All right, folks, let me remind you right now, Iodine is launched over at thealexjonesstore.com. So you got to stop what you're doing right now and head on over to the shop. It's 50% off for VIP members. Because you support us, we want to support you and extend this discount your way. So VIPs, thank you. And head on over to the shop. Make sure you snag some of this. Also, if you're not a VIP member, we're going to give you a discount as well because we appreciate your support. 25% off for our non-VIP members. So just another incentive to support us by becoming a VIP member over at thealexjonesstore.com. Plus, we also have for a limited time, the America 250 t-shirts. Those are available right now. Limited edition, $14.99. Those are 60% off right now. And if it couldn't get any better, well, let me just throw this out to you. It's the March Mega Sale as well. So some of your favorite supplements are up to 40% off for a limited time while supplies last over at thealexjonesstore.com. I'll see you here tomorrow.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultra methylene blue that is also on record, good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification and the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this. And this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexhealthstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexhealthstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexhealthstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best. And it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy. And they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexhealthstore.com. And I thank you for your support.